thought it was safe to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Thursday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. America, where New Yorkers are now being advised, in order to save their homes from squatters stealing them, simply put up a no trespassing sign. Duh, it worked for gun-free zones, dummies. Day 1069. Get it? Ew. Heap of the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in Heather.
Hello.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her in the next hour. Heather has answers. Dark history at the top of the third hour. Our buddies Kimmer and Pete from XL and Flounder from XL 103 in Atlanta will touch base with us in the final hour of the program. Your remarks delivered from the Florida Man Radio app in between. Sam Bankman Fried, I don't know, does 25 years sound? I mean, how many billions of dollars did he steal?
Like 30.
I mean, what's his name?
Bernie Madoff.
Madoff. He got life, I think, and ended up dying in there. He'll probably be out in 5. Who knows? Stay tuned because we are going to get, today is a big day in New York for a couple of reasons. If you're in Manhattan, I feel bad for you because you've got President Biden and former Presidents Obama and Clinton showing up for a fundraiser. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. None of them concerned about the wake of fallen New York City police officer Jonathan Diller. That's happening in Long Island. And we will be receiving calls from America's Voice host, David Zier, who is there at the funeral home. They're also at the airport. I don't know that they got any. That was at 1 o'clock, though, Eastern, so we missed that. But we'll hear from David Zier. I just think, I don't know, any way you slice it, it's a bad look for the President of the United States to attend a fundraiser. By the way, a $25 million fundraiser. Lizzo's playing, as is Queen Latifah. And if you are a fat enough cat donor, you'll get your picture taken with Biden, Obama, and Clinton by famed photographer Annie Leibovitz.
Oh, yay. Can you tell by the photo it's an Annie Leibovitz photo? Is it?
I'm sure it'll be artsy-fartsy black and white, you know, there's a bizarre angle. She'll have you hold a cat or something weird. Here's another thing that's disturbing about it. This doesn't really fit the narrative for this administration to the point where KJP can't really even say the guy's name.
As it relates to the death of the officer. Look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table.
Say his name.
What is with that? They couldn't say Lincoln Riley's name, couldn't say Officer Diller's name. They just cannot, for some reason, like, bring themselves to say it. Now, anybody else, though, they seemed real quick.
George Floyd.
Yeah,
we know his name.
Judge, have you or the president been able Booty to judge. Reach the family members of the 6 victims, or do you plan to try to contact them?
Oh, first of all, our hearts and our thoughts are with them. I know
all they got is hearts and thoughts, you know, for the family of a fallen police officer by a career criminal to a bunch of people that died on the bridge. Our hearts and prayers and hearts and thoughts and thoughts and prayers and hearts. What's his name? Yeah, I don't know who he is. His family, I'm sure they're having a rough day, but, you know, we don't know his name. We do know who to blame, though.
Relates to the death of the officer. Look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table. President Biden is deeply grateful for the sacrifices police officers make to keep our community safe. This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence, that what it's doing to inflict on families and our communities and our nation. And that's why the president signed more than 24 executive actions. That's why we're able to pass a bipartisan.
It's the guns. The gun did it. Isn't New York City a gun-free zone? Yeah.
It's not the, you know, it's not the career criminal that was out on after multiple other charges.
Oh, man. Also, the NYPD Sergeants Union had warned that all you anti-police New York politicians stay away from Jonathan Diller's funeral. Council Speaker Adams, Public Advocate Williams, who said Adrienne Williams, Jumaane Williams, and their cohorts should stay at home. They detest cops and have no appreciation for what they do. They should stay at home, not pretend they're grieving. They've caused enough heartbreak and destruction. And he echoed the same comments for the rest of the hollow, untrue statements of sympathy from other members. He said there is morally responsible for Officer Diller's death as the career criminal that pulled the trigger. Council members that are vehemently and inexplicably against public safety are responsible for the carnage in the streets and the heartbreak brought by Officer Diller's completely avoidable death. And, yeah, I can't imagine if you are in New York City, I don't know. I mean, it'll be cleaned up for this little event. Radio City. It's the presidential trifecta, Barack, Bill Clinton, and President Biden come together for an extravagant fundraiser. They've already got traffic shut down early this morning. They expect it to get really bad. You know, he's struggling with a dismal 38-35% approval rating months out from the election. I don't know that appearing with Barack and, you know, I think appearing with Barack and Clinton, I don't know, Clinton's older than dirt these days, that I think that's a bad juxtaposition because you're going to see two former presidents that are old, Clinton being the oldest, and spry and with it and together, and the current guy they're trying to pump up is, you know, just grandpa.
Also, it's one of another of those where we're told, oh, look, he's Union Joe. He's the guy that rides the train every day. Oh, by the way, to get a picture with him, it's like $1,500.
Yeah. 5,000 people paid somewhere between $250,000 and $250,000 to attend this event. They have some star power as well. Stephen Colbert will guide the armchair conversation. Entertainment, Queen Latifah, Lizzo, Cynthia Erivo, and others. And you can't watch this on TV. You'll have to shell out $25 to watch it online, to watch it on a streaming service.
Oh, wow. What am I doing here? Let's go ahead and get my $25 now.
They say that they're unified and energized behind President Biden's reelection campaign. And that'll be on full display in New York City. Well, former President Trump is not raising funds. He is paying his respects to a fallen officer, which you know, you can't reschedule this Radio City thing, I suppose, but couldn't Biden, I mean, it's Long Island in New York City, couldn't you pay your respects to the fallen officer and then take Marine One over to the city?
Yeah, I don't think this thing starts until later at night.
Yeah.
This would have been well over by then, but you know, he needs his nap right now.
Man, there's one lucky dude, Moises Diaz, 45-year-old dude, was supposed to be on that crew working on the bridge. He is the Waylon Jennings of the Francis Scott Key bridge situation. A last-minute shift change kept him off that crew.
I mean, and you know he feels terrible, though.
Yeah, I would, too. Eight people are on the bridge working for the company Brawner Builders. He said, if I didn't ask to switch, I would have been in that water right now. Yeah, he's got to feel guilty as hell. Or lucky. I mean, does Waylon Jennings feel guilty? Or not about giving his seat up on that plane?
I mean, I think you feel lucky, but you also can't, you know, he's probably not out in his front yard dancing right now about the fact that he didn't go on that shift.
Yeah, okay. Four other guys are still missing. They found two of the bodies. Seven vehicles were missing after the fall as well. Officials are using sonar to find those vehicles. But, man, that guy. Moises Diaz. One lucky dude. Then I hear Buttigieg can't put a time on a rebuild of this. He didn't want to even ballpark it. Some people say two years minimum, 4 years maximum. He didn't want to even, I mean, he's the transportation secretary. Shouldn't he know, kind of, be able to ballpark the construction of a bridge?
I mean, it's going to be a while on it. Even if this isn't a passenger bridge over with nothing
a
going
creek or something.
Yeah, we're going over a creek. This needs to be a bridge that can be, you know, once again, span over an area where they can take out these shipping.
It's got to be better protected than that bridge was.
It's going to need those big barriers like they put on the whatever the Skyline or Sunshine Bridge down in Tampa.
Yeah. Celebration for transgender weightlifter Vicky Piper. A 57-year-old trans man won the Masters National Champions in Reno, Nevada. Imagine that. Vicky lifted 123 pounds in the snatch and 156 in the clean and jerk. That didn't sound like a whole lot of weight.
Yeah, was this considered like an adult competition?
It had to be his weight class. I guess this is how they do it. 123 in the snatch, which is, what's the snatch? Another clean and jerk. That's, you got to get one. It up there and then up to the top.
Yeah, I think that's the one where you just take it up off the ground.
Only 123. They add those together, a combined 279 pounds, which beat his closest competitor, Kirsta Dornbush, by 37 pounds. He's very happy about it. He said, thank you, USA Weightlifting, for hosting such a well-thought-out and supportive event here in Nevada. Here's the thing I don't get about it.
The snatch is the one where you take it off the ground and lift it over your head.
Oh, okay. They require trans athletes to provide evidence that they've undergone hormone therapy for at least 2 years. They believe that will minimize gender-related competition advantages. Clearly, it does not.
Especially when it's the difference now of a 57-year-old man and a 57-year-old woman.
Yes. Yeah. All you have to do is take this. They believe that that's enough to erase any advantages you may have over a man may have over a woman. Minnesota court ruled last year that USA Powerlifting must allow trans athletes to compete in its women's divisions. Harriet Hageman, not a fan of that. Congresswoman Hageman, she slammed Pramila Jayapal for becoming emotional over a bill prohibiting men from competing against women in Olympic and amateur sports. She said it was highly inappropriate, and I felt it was largely staged. And in similar news, Sydney, Australia-based Flying Bats FC, a soccer team, They went undefeated in a four-week tournament in women's soccer. I mean, this team was kicking ass. The final game, they won 10-0, which is unheard of in a game of soccer.
Especially not a finals match.
Right. In a finals match, the best team against the two best teams playing against each other. Well, their secret? Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five transgender athletes on the soccer team. That means that on the field, what is it? How many you have? Nine? I'm sorry, 11 or 12?
You're asking the wrong person when it comes to...
That more than half of them are men. And matter of fact, in their 10-0 victory, one transgender woman scored six of those goals. Now, you have to take into account that a lot of teams forfeited because they didn't want their girls to play against men and pulled out. They said, our girls are here to play for fun, expect to play in the female competition. They did not sign up for a mixed competition. Some of the parents pulled their kids, will not let their kids play. It was disheartening to see such a huge difference in ability. I mean, that's just, for the officials of these leagues, I mean, to say that you must, to go forward with it, and I suppose, you know, if a Minnesota judge signed the law and said they have to in weightlifting, I don't know about Australia in soccer, but when you put biological males on women's teams and you see 10-0 victories in soccer, and one dude scoring six goals against girls, and you see how obviously outmatched girls are, how do you sleep with yourself, allowing it to continue and continue? You know, there's one guy out there who, has found a way to do all right. Transgender sports.
Yo, Irving City Council.
Irving City Council. Doing?
My name is Tiny, and I'm a professional sports gambler. But unfortunately, my career is at a standstill because I got six baby mamas all in the DFW Metroplex. So I can't live in a state that's got legal gambling. In a sense, it will be March Madness. I'm coming up here to beg y'all to make sports gambling legal in the city so I can stack my paper and pay for the illegitimate children's.
Children.
I know some people think sports betting is risky, but I got an unbeaten system that can put money in all y'all pockets. Seriously.
Seriously.
My system is easy. I bet on the blackest and darkest teams in college sports because blacker the berry, sweeter the juice, and better the jump shot. I also got a sports betting angle that is foolproof. Since y'all want to let all these transgenders up in the league, that is foolproof. Since y'all want to let all these transgenders up in the league, I became almost a millionaire betting on Leah Thomas's big ass winning all them swimming meets.
So he wants you to, you know, please legalize gambling in Irving. I don't know if the city can do that. Because he's got a lot of baby mamas, six in the DFW area. And since he is a professional gambler, he says here that he risks going to the penitentiary.
And just like these transgender swimmers, my swimmers are strong. That's why I got so many baby mamas. But you know what that means? I got a lot of bills to pay. So I'm sick of risking my life and my freedom on gambling illegally on transgender athletes. So I beg you, Irving City Council, to please legalize sports gambling, because I can't afford to be up in the penitentiary.
The guys, the women on the city council, they're just kind of looking. The guys are looking at each other, just laughing. Is that no, it's not. Oh, okay. Waiting on a call from David Zier. He's up in Long Island at the wake of Jonathan Diller.
Doing 5 to 10 years on some weak-ass gambling charge.
I guess you could find somewhere to bet on Leah Thompson and when she was, you know, at NCAA, right?
When she was, yeah. I don't know if there's anywhere.
Man,
I doubt there's a lot of places taking bets on it right now. I bet if the FC bats are going around, there's no bookie in Australia. It's like, yeah, I'll take money on
right.
it.
Right. If the bookies aren't going to take any money on it, then, you know. Oh, guys, killing me. All right. When we return, shock, at least in Georgia, as the ladies of the Waffle House go on strike. I wish you could see the video. I'll retweet it. You can follow me at The Burke Show. Their leader. I hate to be so mean. She has all of perhaps 3 teeth. She's
kind of what I expected, man.
Yeah, that's what you get. I'm not knocking Waffle House. I love it. But they have a couple of things they're upset about. They seem to not care about. They want $25 an hour. But there's one other rule that they are really steamed about. We'll get to it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network.
I got my mind set on you. I got my mind set.
There's no doubt that restaurant work can be difficult. And other conditions can make some restaurant work more difficult than others. Waffle House is a frequent stage for some late night fights. Chair throwing, hash brown tossing. So the Georgia Waffle House workers have hit the picket line. They want better working conditions, pay raises, and an end to the company's meal credit policy that deducts at least $3 from workers' pay every shift, no matter if they have a meal or not. I don't have a problem with that. The way I look at it, you're walking around, but you're eating $3 worth of bacon or grabbing you're probably snacking on something at the Waffle House.
So that's a pretty good deal for most places to make you charge you like half or full price on your meal.
Yeah.
$3, you get a meal out of it. I'm
all right with that. So they say that the union's estimated that nationwide, the $3 worker meal credit policy could total nearly $30 million deducted from workers annually. They said, if Waffle House thinks they can keep getting away with docking our pay for meals we don't eat, then clearly they don't understand the power we've built in our union. We show up every day and work hard for as little as $2.90 an hour before tips. So losing $3 a shift does real damage. We're fed up. We're going on strike to demand that Waffle House end this policy across the country. Listen to us. Make changes that will keep us safe. They do want some security in some of the locations, which I can't argue with that, you know?
Yeah, there probably should be a security guard in there.
Starting around midnight.
Yeah, around midnight.
13,000 workers have signed a petition to the U.S. Department of Labor demanding the federal government investigate this meal credit policy. They also want $25 an hour and security at all restaurants. Here is their statement.
We just delivered our strike letter to our boss because we're demanding $25 an hour, 24/7 security, and the meal deductions to stop. We delivered a letter to tell them they had 2 weeks. Today is a 2-week mark, therefore we're striking for 4 days.
They sing a little song here. You ready for it?
Oh, tell me it's got a good beat to it. Something Kamala can dance to?
Something Kamala would probably sing.
No changes are going to be made unless we do something and we hit their pockets. So that's exactly what we're doing.
We ready.
For y'all.
It didn't even give what the demands were. You got at least like saying we want $25.
Let's have the meal credit, $25 an hour and security and meal credit.
Yeah, but you can't. It's got to be part of your protest song.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't just be yelling,
"Hey,
we
hey,
ready.
Ho, ho, this, the meal credit has got to go." I mean, that's an easy one.
Also, they'll probably get one of those demands out of that.
$25?
No, they're going to get the $3 meal credit taken off. The ask for $25 and 24-hour security is just not going to happen.
So, I mean, I get it if you don't have a meal, but now they'll just change their policy to, okay, if you go on to have a meal, guess what? You're paying full boat. Rack rate. No discount.
Yeah. But they're just not.
Do you know how it is in a restaurant like that, especially at a breakfast restaurant? You know, a lot of their stuff is right there for the world to see. The guys that work that griddle are amazing. But normally you'll have a bunch of bacon already cooked because you might, you don't want to waste. You're just sitting there staying warm. You're going to tell me that no one walks by there and wants to grab a couple pieces of bacon, snacky mm-hmm. while they're, doing their side work. I bet they got all the shrinkage probably matches the $3. I do love me some Waffle House, man. I feel so guilty about eating there, but it's so good. It's really one of those places you can go about 11 on like a Saturday or Sunday, do the whole full boat meal, and that's all you eat all day.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I get probably from midnight till 11 a.m. They stay fairly busy off and on. But you're telling me a Waffle House is going to sustain a lunch and dinner crowd for $25 with their employees making $25 an hour?
No.
I don't see. Yeah, that's insanity. That's
the wait staff's never going to get that.
Yeah, I just love that that's always the jump to it.
I'm sure the guy on the griddle, that dude's a master. I'm sure he's probably making some bang.
I'm sure he probably is.
Well, they ready. Just want you to know. The woman up front, she ready for a dentist appointment. There is a well-regarded, highly esteemed Princeton graduate, Trey Farmer. He is involved in several prestigious school organizations, the leader of their queer alumni club. Other groups he's been a part of, the Glee Club, the Princeton University Glee Club Foundation. The Civic Service and Princeton Internships and Civic Service and Princeton of Southwest Florida. He's an esteemed grad. Well, he was until he was taken in custody for child porn. I'm not trying to say that he is. I'm not trying to make a connection between him being gay or queer or whatever and having child porn. You can make that one yourself. I'm just trying to say that who's not involved in this pedophile child pornography trafficking? I mean, it seems like it's a bigger epidemic than the drug problem in America.
Yeah, it does. It seems like it's become too easy.
He was charged with a count of third-degree possession, child sex abuse of material, after he received a tip that he had uploaded an item depicting child sexual abuse. They searched his condo. They seized multiple pieces of evidence in the case. He graduated in 1993, was the new president of the Queer Princeton Alumni just a few months ago, elected the president. Formerly known as the Bisexual, Transgender, Gay, and Lesbian Association. Got a little long. He says he did an interview in the Alumni Spotlight newsletter. He said, good things happen when you bring Princetonians together. There are wonderfully generous interactions of like-minded people that want to spend their time volunteering, and then they're all so passionate about it. This is not traditional networking. This is about connecting interesting people doing interesting things in all areas of our society. Now you know he's been busted with child porn. That sounds awfully creepy. Princeton wants you to know he was strictly a volunteer at Princeton, not an employee.
Dumped his name was over a lot of stuff here at Princeton.
Yeah. They want to keep him in detention leading up to his trial. Not give him a bond. Must be that bad. Yikes. You know, I don't even know. I've kind of, the P. Diddy thing is just flashed out. I don't know if they know where he is. He's going to be arrested, blah, blah, blah. But it is an avalanche of people coming forward now. And some people say that it could spark a hip-hop hashtag Me Too movement.
Oh, very possibly. But it doesn't seem to have, it needs a big name, and it doesn't have it yet. It's got a lot of...
Bigger than Puff Daddy?
Well, more people coming out. There's not been a big name that's come out against him yet. There's a bunch of people that have kind of, like, hey, said, I told you all a long time ago things were kind of fishy about it, but there needs to be... either a big female rapper that comes out and says something about it or something else, because there's just not...
Or a kid.
Yeah.
You know, Bieber came out in order to admit something. Or Usher said enough. You know, maybe not point blank, but he's just certainly dropped enough hints. Well, do you remember the conjoined twins? Abby and Brittany Hansel? Two heads, two arms, two legs. Right?
Yes.
Very bizarre. They've had a TV show. There've been a number of specials. Well, good news. Abby, the one on the left, has been married to a guy named Josh, an Army veteran. And I have questions.
I did too. Because I'm like, okay, that first night, let's say they didn't do anything up until the marriage night.
Wait a second.
We're saying that they've
okay.
Been,
they said they held it through marriage.
Well, yeah, they were good Christians holding it till marriage. That night, did he put like a duffel bag over the other one, or
they have one vagina? Whose is it?
Yeah, I mean, is it both of theirs? Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, it's one. And
is Brittany a good sister? Like maybe help out, you know.
Do they? I know it's been a long time. Do they each have control over one arm?
I think so. I mean, it could. If she's not into it, the Brittany girl, she could like punch the guy. Get out, you know. She
also there's. I mean, some sex acts are going to get a little weird.
He is not just married. He's not just married to one. He's married to both of them, technically. I mean, the service and the marriage, the license and all is in the other girl's name. I mean, but do they have the same social security number? Do they, you know what I mean? And is, if one is experiencing sexual excitement, is the other one also experiencing it?
I would think they would have to.
There's a picture of a very uncomfortable wedding celebration, and he's dancing with them.
Yeah, it's no matter what, it's always a threesome.
Yes, they're born dicephalous conjoined twins. Their two heads are a single body with one genital system. Three or four arms, two hearts, and two legs. They share a bloodstream in all organs below the waist. Abby controls the right arm and leg. Brittany controls the left.
Yeah, so no matter what, they both have to be in on it.
Yes, they share that vagina.
It's not like the conjoined twins that are like just at the back where you can be like, all right, I'm going to throw a sheet over so you can't see what's going on.
No, he's doing both of them. Which is kind of weird and kind of hot. They have a driver's license. They both graduated from college. They've been world travelers. I guess they have two passports. How do you get one picture? I'll lean out, will you, Abby, so I can get my own picture taken.
Yeah.
No word on if they're going to expand their family. But they say, yeah, we're going to be moms.
There's a lot, just a lot to unpack with that.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack with that. There's a lot of... we deserve to know.
I don't think we do, but...
Don't you want to know?
I'd watch, yeah.
What if the other one wants to get married?
That's the next question, yeah. I get, she had to get married, they both had to be in on it.
Well, I'm sure the other one didn't protest.
Yeah, so this is more of a...
that comes that uncomfortable question in the ceremony. Anyone here have a reason for this wedding? They should not be lawfully wed to speak now or forever hold your peace. And she's going to go, yeah, I'm right here.
I think it's more maybe...
Six inches to the left.
They couldn't both get technically married to him anyway, unless they list this little Mormon thing going on. So I think more it's like, hey, one of them had to pick to be the married one, even though they specifically picked her. So I don't know. Were they on a dating app together? Was it really confusing if you showed up on Tinder?
Can you imagine swiping? Whoa, what the hell? You see two hands on one body?
Well, no, even worse, you see one hand, then you show up at a date. You talk about getting catfished.
Oh, my God. You should have mentioned that you had another head on your body.
You got to lead with that one.
Oh, my God. It's just, I can't, it just blows my mind. I can't imagine. One. I can't imagine. Let's be point blank. The sex.
They should hang out with that lady.
Does he look in both of their eyes? Like look at hers for a little while. Then look. Does he not look at the other girl? Because that's not his wife.
That's why I say you got to put like a blanket over the other one. You're just like, all right, just over there. Here, I'm gonna turn the TV.
She's enjoying it too. Yeah. I mean, they share a vagina.
Yeah, but it's you just have to know. Here's a. This is our sex blanket. So. Over there. What they need to do is hang out with the lady from Australia that has two vaginas, though.
Yeah. Or find one of these guys that buy penal, or whatever they have, call it. Is that Mr. Zeal?
Yeah.
We don't know. Zier, I mean. There are several thousand migrants. There's a caravan coming, headed for El Paso. In excess of 2,000 people. Walking through the streets in southern Mexico, chanting a la frontera, which means to the border. They want to let everyone know we are not criminals. We are international workers. Church-run border shelters are preparing for the group's arrival as they make their way to the United States. They're in contact with people and personnel in migrant shelters in South Mexico. In Juarez, they said there's many people that have come to the country recently that are being joined by others already here. And, yeah, they're coming to Juarez and then on to America. Who's that?
Jason up in Minnesota says he actually knows them. So,
Jason, how are you? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Shannon. Been a long time. No talk. How you been?
Great, man. I didn't know you knew these girls. Or did I?
Oh, no, probably not. No, they just live down the road from me. I mean, I shouldn't say that. They live a couple miles from me, but they're always out and about town. I just ran into them not too long ago at Costco. I mean, it sure shocks you when you walk around the corner and you're face-to-face with them.
It's right.
Like, you don't want to look, but, I mean, and then their husband's with them, or one of them's husband's with them, and they're at my daughter's pizza place and that all the time. They're just normal people. I mean, they're not normal, but they act like it.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. We're just trying to, everyone in that town, are they a little curious about their love life, that thing, and that type of stuff?
Yeah, but nobody wants to say anything or ask them.
I will. I need to know.
If I ever run into them again, I will tell them.
I'm sure they're really nice girls, and I know that living the way they live is has been something that is probably still very challenging for them, but they certainly have managed to have a normal life, except we want to know what goes down.
I mean, they're out in public a lot, which is, it's nice to see, and I don't think anybody harassed them, which is also a good thing. So it's just, they just live their lives and do their thing. It's good to see.
Very cool. All right. Well, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Later. Bye.
Interesting. How do these 2,000 people caravans get together? There's like, they notice a crowd joining at the corner of Main and Uno Street, and they go, hey, you going to, yeah, we're going, hey, you guys too? Let's all go.
No, these are those groups down there that get them together. They're usually missionary groups that get them down and tell them that, hey, we're going to start heading towards America.
They've got organized groups that NGOs that give money and you could bet that the church-run border shelters are getting some U.S. taxpayer money. And the director of the Casa del Migrante shelter, Reverend Francisco Bueno Guillen, is in on the deal, I would imagine. They just don't magically come together with a, you know.
No, there isn't a, four, a migrant family of four meets up with another migrant family of four, and then all of a sudden you've got 100,000 people walking there. It just doesn't work that way.
And there, it's, you know, in Juarez, the migrant shelters there are 75% capacity. They have a municipal gymnasium there that's three quarters full. The Juarez Human Rights Director Santiago Gonzalez said they're preparing in El Paso. The El Paso Catholic Diocese Bishop told his counterparts south of the border that they will continue to marshal all available resources and be aware of all the trends. El Paso has shown itself to be very able to gear up when the surge comes and provide a safe and orderly way for those who have been permitted to come. Permitted to come? What do you mean they're permitted to come?
Well, there are some that they have that listing for, but those are the ones that are usually flown out.
To find a secure situation and continue their paths. Texas National Guard has deployed two planes carrying 200 members of the Tactical Border Force to El Paso. They specialize in incidents of civil disobedience. Their deployment comes days after a group of migrants stormed the border in El Paso, tearing down the concertina wire and trampling over Border Patrol agents. The migrants that involved in that, that damage of property over $2,500, assaults on members of the guard, they say they're going to charge them. They hit dozens of officers, and in doing so, they've some of them walked away with several felony or misdemeanor charges out of the deal. So, I mean, it's not stopping them by any chance. But it's nice to know we've got, you know, caravan after caravan, and the word is out, you know, all over the world that it's a free for all in the United States. And if you're in some third world S-hole country, just fly to Mexico, just get down there. So we're South America and make your way. Come on up.
Yeah. There is a reason why every time they do those interviews where they walk down the line, like, hey, where are you going? And they go, New York, New York, New York, yeah. New York. You know why? It's because they know New York is now giving out handouts to people.
Yeah.
They're not going up there to hang out with family that's up there.
Maybe they're going there to start their acting career. Easy. Have you thought of that? New York's the place, you know, the Broadway actors.
Well, off-Broadway at least.
I saw videos of giant rubber dinghies. One of them just coming right ashore in San Diego with, I don't know how, 30, 40 people. They leave the rubber. It's one of those giant, looks like a military style rubber boat.
Yeah, and they just leave it there.
They come up the shore, they leave it there. They just run off into the same. I saw the same thing happen in some videos out of Spain, except they're coming from Africa. Here they're coming from, you know, South America and Mexico and God knows where else. But man. Ronald McDaniel got a lawyer. Apparently she got assigned a 2-year deal to be a contributor for $300,000 a year, and she's looking to get her $600K. That's the best day of work ever. She went to work on a Sunday, did one interview.
One interview, get $600K, yeah.
That's almost what Bill Clinton gets for a 45-minute appearance. We'll get to that when we return. And our AI czar is going to make sure that AI is not racist. Who's our AI czar? The border czar.
Because she's doing such a great job with that one.
Yeah, you got a bunch.
Let's just czar her up some more.
All right, that's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Orlando City Commissioner Regina Hill has pled not guilty in her elder abuse arrest. Indicted yesterday. Drained an old lady's bank account to pay for her home winter renovations, IV treatments, a facelift, and a fancy pants hotel room for a celebration with her hubby. She's been here since 2013. I mean, elected. That's dirty, dirty, dirty. They expect to release her sometime. Maybe she's already out, being held on $40,000 bond. Wow, that's a lot.
That's quite big for her.
She's on probation from using any of that money from the accounts tied to the victim. She is prohibited from returning to three houses owned or co-owned by the elderly woman. Domino Drive, Lewis Court, Mahala Place. Former two of which are related to ongoing investigation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Man, she is in a whole world of trouble. Yikes. Well, man, even local city, this is not really even, that's not even really city business. You know, she's not embezzling from the city.
No, she stole that money from somebody.
Straight up criminal. You think she'll be demanding to stay to keep her commissioner job because it was not involved with the...
I'm sure she's going to try.
She was just able to convince maybe her role as a city commissioner was, helped gain this old lady's trust so she could fleece her. Way to go. Kamala is our AI czar, which should absolutely scare the crap out of everybody. Look, the border, that's some of her handiwork. She's going to go find the root causes. Apparently, when she went down to the root causes, find the root causes, were U.S. tax dollars being spent by NGOs writing pamphlets and buying new sneakers so Manuel and his family can trek through the forest and get here.
It's like the first time when they first named her border, and she went down, was it Venezuela, I believe, and handed out Kamala Harris cookies to people.
Well, now she's launched a bid to protect Americans. Protect Americans! From racist artificial intelligence. There's no doubt in my mind. Kamala Harris is the right person for this job. There's nobody better suited in the field of AI.
Oh, just wait till she explains AI to you.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. I cannot wait. She shared her concerns with reporters at a press call, pointing out the need to protect the rights of the American people when using any kind of AI in the federal government. She said if the VA wants to use AI in the VA hospitals to help doctors diagnose patients, they would first have to demonstrate that AI does not produce racially biased diagnosis.
Not that the AI can produce correct diagnosis. It's if AI doesn't produce racially biased diagnosis.
Racially biased.
Again, not worried about if it's the correct diagnosis.
Right, right. Just whether or not it's racially biased or not. She also announced the administration's requirement for federal agencies to reveal the AI system they were using and how they were using it at the jobs. She said the federal government would act as a model for any company or global entity using AI to improve their productivity. You should never, ever use the United States federal government as an example for anything related to productivity. She said, President Biden and I intend that these domestic policies will serve as a model for global action.
A movement that has always been about the ability to see what can be unburdened by what has been. So.
AI.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, maybe she should take a look at, is it racist for Google's AI to create a black George Washington?
Yes.
I agree. Is it racist to make black and female Asian Nazi soldiers?
Well, yeah, it just looks bad all across the way.
Here he is from America's Voice, the host David Zier, who is in Long Island at the wake of a fallen officer, Jonathan Diller. David, how are you? Hello, David.
Good.
Hey.
Yes, who's this?
It's Shannon Burke call, receiving your call. How's the weather up there?
Miserable. Peace to 50 degrees. Somber day here.
Yeah.
Outside the funeral home for the fallen officer. Thousands of people showing up to the wake, though. A lot of cops. So if you want a live update, I can fill you in.
Right, please do. Go ahead. You're on the air right now. Is the former president there? Have you got a chance to see him?
Yeah, we did. The motorcade pulled up about an hour ago, went inside, spent about a half an hour with the family, with the widow, Stephanie, of Jonathan Diller, who was gunned down on Monday night in a routine traffic stop in Far Rockaway, Queens, which is rampant with crime these days. The two assailants, the guy who shot him and the driver, had about 41 arrests or 31 arrests between the two of them. One spent 10 years in jail. There's no regard for the law here in New York. And Trump came out and made remarks to the press about 20 minutes ago. His motorcade just left. And he said, I spent a lot of time with the family here of Jonathan Diller, and this cannot be allowed to happen anymore, and that we have to toughen up and something has to change. He really didn't get into the politics of it. But the message is from the Sergeant Benevolent Association in New York City that members of the city council wanted to defund the police and other measures in January that would have hamstrung the cops in the street. We're not welcome here at the funeral.
Right.
You know, some city council members like Jumaame Williams, sent out their condolences. They said it was fake. And Adrian Adams, they didn't buy it. They didn't want him here because, you know, the cops can't do their job. And the retirement levels are at an all-time high. 200 cops a month leave the force. 3,000 left last year in New York City. They only replaced them with 2,000 in the latest graduating class, I believe.
Right.
And they're retiring before their 20-year pension and they get vested because they don't feel the city and the mayor have their backs here. And one more thing, you know, Trump reportedly paid off the family's mortgage in their Massapequa suburban Long Island home.
Wow.
Through donations to Tunnels to Towers. And people can donate at the SilverShieldFoundation.org/donate if they want to help the family here. And we're in suburban New York, Massapequa Park, where a lot of cops, a lot of EMTs, a lot of FDNY commute every day to Manhattan and put their lives on the line. And it's a runaway situation in New York.
It is. David Zier joins us. He's host of America's Voice. He's up in Long Island at the funeral home for the wake of Jonathan Diller, the fallen NYPD cop. You say there's not a whole lot of faith in the force there doesn't have a whole lot of faith that the city or the mayor or the council has their back. Is that the overall feeling?
Yeah, that's the general feeling, I believe. So even though shootings and murders are down about 10%, and 20% shootings, 10% for murders in New York City. You have felony assaults. 29,000 people assaulted last year. It's like a 22-year high in New York City. You have parts of Queens where grand theft auto was up 45% in parts of Queens, 35-40% in parts of the Bronx, Brooklyn, rampant crime going on. Violent crimes are up. Transit crime is up 53% since 2019. In New York, transit crime in the Bronx in some areas was 85% plus year to year. So there's progress in some areas, but, it's out of control. And then throw on top of that 177,000 or so illegal aliens.
I was gonna,
June of 22 coming to the city.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, David.
Those crimes are...
What do you think is more impactful on the city and its crime problem? Is it the illegal alien crisis there, or is it the no cash bail?
Well, it's both. It's bail reform. It's no cash bail. It is crime. Now, a lot of crimes don't even get reported anymore, so it's hard to say what the real number is. Now you've got Venezuelan gangs teaming up with MS-13 on the scooters, stealing people's wallets and robbing them in Times Square. And there's violence. We saw the cops get assaulted in the street a couple of weeks ago in New York City. I just think there's a general feeling that, you know, Mayor Adams is proposing 15% cuts across the boards in New York City to pay the $12+ billion it's going to cost to pay and house and shelter and educate, you know, illegals in New York City that have come here, that he welcomed in through sanctuary policy in 2021. We got the Statue of Liberty in the harbor. Come on in. But now he's regretting it. I don't know, you know, what it's going to look like going forward, but something's got to give because, you know, people are fleeing New York. 78,000 New York City residents left New York City last year alone, and 520,000 or so left in 2022 out of New York State. And 2 million New Yorkers have left since 2012.
Imagine leaving your state.
Have a problem.
Leaving your home state or your home city you've lived in forever because of the policies of that city. And I read recently, David, that they expect that by, I think it was 2028, that a full 50% of New York City's inhabitants will have fled that city, which, you know, collapses the tax base, and it just all goes to hell in a handbasket after that.
Yeah, I mean, there are some success stories in New York. You know, only about 50% of the office space has been reoccupied since COVID. But those policies destroyed small business. Now they're going after the pizza owners with the climate change stuff and coal and wood-fired ovens. You know, they're going after the wrong things. They're concentrating on Trump over nothing.
Right.
On Alvin Bragg, which at best would have been misdemeanor process crimes, even if they were in the statute of limitations ran out, and they're still going after him for penalties. Yeah. And then you've got, you know, the Letitia James situation, and the AG and the New York DA putting all this money and energy into, you know, going after taking out a political opponent versus helping New Yorkers. Two-thirds of the Bronx children live below the poverty line. There are parts of, you know, the Bronx where crime is up 40%. You know, they're not really addressing the problems. And where is the Democratic leadership? Schumer's been there for 35, 40 years. You know, what are they doing to put an end to this in New York City?
Yeah. So, amen. Are you going to be there for a while at the service, David?
I'm going to do a couple of live hits for Real America's Voice News here. We're watching and filming, you know, people attending the wake right now, but we'll probably break down within the hour.
All right. How was former President Trump received when he arrived?
Listen, the cops love him.
Yeah.
You know, there's no two ways about it. You know, there's a big crowd here of Trump supporters, pretty reserved. He did get an applause after he was done speaking. But, you know, I think that the Trump supporters and the MAGA crowd here on Long Island, most of them were conscientious that this is not a political rally.
Right.
You know, they will be here tomorrow in force, Trump supporters holding rallies up and down the highways around the area with, you know, like convoys for Trump. But it's really about Blue Lives Matter for them. And right. I've been told that the groups like the Belmore Patriots and the America First Warehouse will be out there, especially in their report. Their support for the cops and Blue Lives, you know, and not as much as a political rally. Yeah. And but people are fed up because, you know, the good people in New York are leaving. The rich people hide in the Hamptons and step over the bodies on the way to Starbucks and pretend there's nothing going on. And again, there are still nice areas in New York City, and areas have gotten safer, like the Upper West Side and other places. But overall, terrible environment for businesses, and the crimes are random. So that's the big problem.
Well, I appreciate the coverage. Real America's Voice host David Zier in Long Island at the wake of the fallen officer Jonathan Diller. I appreciate the update, David, and let's chat again soon.
I hope so, Sharon. Thank you so much.
Dave. See you. Good stuff. I appreciate him checking in. Heather?
Hello.
You've got some letters for us?
I do.
Let's do
these
it.
Are much lighter than like some that we've had this week. But if anybody would like to email me, heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. My husband has his twin daughters, my husband had his twin daughters when he was in college, and we had our three when we were in our late 30s, 40s. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I work part-time for a family company that lets me set my own hours. My stepdaughter is pregnant. So I guess that these, by the way, the stepdaughters are probably adults.
I would hope.
Yeah. She immediately wanted to go back to work since she's the breadwinner in her family. They don't want to pay for childcare, and I would be happy to help out, but she treats me like I don't have a functional brain. I have been emailed basically a book on what I'm allowed to do with the baby, from sleep schedules to handmade organic baby food. And there were footnotes.
Wait. This is this woman's daughter.
Her stepdaughter.
Her stepdaughter that's telling her how precisely to care for her daughter, her kid.
The baby. The grandbaby. Step-grandbaby? It'd be a grandbaby.
Yeah.
The baby isn't even here yet. My youngest is 11 years old. Parenting hasn't changed that much in a decade. Our relationship has always been challenging. She, unlike her sister, has never responded well to her parents having their own independent lives. She nearly tanked her relationship with her own mother because her mother decided to remarry a man 10 years younger than her and move to Spain. This was after she and her sister both graduated and got married. I understand that she's nervous to be a new mom, but I'm already regretting the offer. My husband insists it'll all be fine. I'm not so sure. What footnotes should I provide for her? Tammy in Titusville.
So this lady sent her stepmother a list of how to care for her child, and the child isn't born yet?
Yep.
Oh, my God. She is in for it. It is going to be rough.
She needs to put those baby books away.
I would say, and how many children has this woman raised?
Three. Yeah, plus, that's, you know, her twin stepdaughters.
I would start with a resume of experience and say, look, sweetheart, you have no idea what you're in for. You don't know what the sleeping habits of this kid are going to be. You don't know your organic, handmade baby, blah, blah, blah. I know it's your first kid. You're really excited about it, but I've got a few hundred, you know, I've got some miles on me in that department. I'll endeavor.
The baby will live.
I'll endeavor to be specific about your, but I'm not going to do ridiculous crap to you because I know what I'm doing.
Right. I mean, I get being a new mom and like wanting to have everything picture perfect.
The nerve of her sending her a letter about sleep schedules and food and the baby's not even here yet.
You would be surprised. I was in a mom group during the whole COVID thing, and there are people that like insist that their families are vaccinated with COVID and all the other vaccines that newborns normally get to make sure that their child's protected. Well, I'm just saying, there's a lot of crazy things that we do when we're hormonal.
She must be super hormonal because she's figured out this kid's schedule is not even born yet.
Oh, I can't wait for the 3-month regression.
Oh. Child care is a real bitch, and you've got a gold mine on your hands. I don't think I'd look a gift horse in the mouth. You know, I would say thank you very much, and I don't know that I would give her any instructions. She knows what she's doing. Just bring the diapers, bring the food, drop it off. Thank you very much.
Yeah, as long as she's not doing anything weird, like, I don't know, cutting the baby's hair or something. You know, like, as long as she's just caring for the baby. She's getting this time with her grandbaby. I mean, that's
Tammy.
Precious.
Is that her name? Tammy in Titusville? Tammy, you need to have some fun with her. So when she comes to pick up the baby after work, you go and get some hamburger wrappers from McDonald's and some fries. Just leave them laying around. And, oh, yeah, we had a great lunch. She really loved that Big Mac. Or, you know what I mean?
She just kind of gummed it for a while. You know. She didn't choke.
I pre-chewed it for her and then spit it into her mouth.
It's actually a bird.
How old is the mother-to-be?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, I would. I hate people like that.
They don't know, though. I mean, first-time moms, they have no idea. So they want everything to be perfect, and they've got this list, and then, like, no.
But you're bossing around your free child care before the baby's born. It doesn't come off as being very grateful. That's what I'm getting at.
That's true.
Not grateful.
Yeah.
I'd write her a heavily worded letter. Well, you don't want to mess it up. Maybe wait till the closer the baby's born. Don't start a pre-baby fight, you know?
Right. No, I would just take the list and be like, okay, honey.
Okay, sweetheart.
Okay.
All righty. Is the grandmother supposed to be responsible for making this all-organic, handmade baby food?
I didn't get the notes.
I mean, you drop it off, I'll give it to the kid, but, right. You know, don't expect me to bust out some cricket flour and hammer your kid out a little protein mush.
Gross.
You got another quick one?
I do. I am being stalked by someone who's only about 3 feet tall. I have an indoor cat, and the neighbor has a kid. She's little, maybe 7. She's very, very keen on my cat. Several times a week, she comes over and stares at him through the front window, which I find partially cute. I loved cats as a little kid, and partially a bit invasive. I'm at home in my private space, and she's just standing there staring. Sometimes she leaves cat litter and food that I can't use on the front step. And if I don't take it inside immediately, the next time I'm on my front step, it's obviously been moved as if she thinks I didn't see it. This has ramped up lately, and I'm feeling the lack of privacy. It is uncomfortable having a kid staring at me while making dinner or sitting on the couch or working out. I know I need to chat with her parents and tell them that it's gotten to be a bit much, but they don't have a heap of space themselves, and I'm aware that when you're 7, hearing no can be pretty upsetting. I don't want to be unkind to this family, but I also don't want to close the curtains anytime I'm home. There's a box of cat supplies that I didn't ask for and can't use on my front step right now. Huh. Thanks. S in Alabama.
Here's what you do. You run down to the SPCA and pick yourself up a kitten. Bring it home. Next time she's standing out front, you take the little kitty carrier, cat carrier out there and hand it to her. Go, congratulations. Now you've got your very own cat.
I love it.
You take all the stuff that she's given you and give it an, look, here's the cat litter. Here's some toys. Yes. You're all set for yourself. Here's a little kitty litter box to do you. Maybe start her off with a couple of cans of that Fancy Feast.
Oh, whatever. I'm going to stand outside the window and stare to make sure you're taking care of that
you
cat.
Don't mind, if you don't mind keeping this cat in your front window.
That's the perfect answer.
Oh, my God. That is just, I mean, it's a weird.
I mean, it's sweet that the little girl wants to, and probably a family that doesn't let her have a cat. Maybe she's allergic, or someone in that house is allergic. So
that's a good idea. Ask if she's allergic or someone else is allergic.
Yeah, if there's a reason that they can't have a cat at their house, you know, she seems to very specifically want a pet, and she's not able to have that. But you can't have creepy kids staring in your window.
or just don't give it to her. Just put it on her porch while they're asleep or something. They can wake up and find it, and leave a little note from the cat fairy. You're such a nice little girl that we think you need your own cat.
I like it.
Good stuff. Send your questions to heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. Is this? I'm twisted. Is that?
You should be on QC.
Yeah, that's what I thought. that's a good letter. Thank you. We do it every day now in this hour. So heatherhasanswers@gmail.com. When we return, it'll be time to dip into the remarks to see what you have delivered.
It's also gonna make a joint twin related.
Oh, I sure. I bet a lot of it is. I thought at one point I saw a rather fuzzy porn of them,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was going around the internet. I don't know if it was ever actually them or if it was even real. I never saw anything like conclusively visual.
All right.
It was always like, you click this link and you can see here. It was all blurred out type of thing.
Also, the books about presidents sell like hotcakes. Books about President Trump sold like crazy. Simon & Schuster had a deal with an established journalist to write a, quote, comprehensive look at the Biden administration, at his presidency. Now they're like, not so much.
President Biden took a nap. He went back to Delaware.
The end. Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. The squatter thing has recently been in the news, and it is a serious problem. And everyone wants to give you some advice. This came from Eyewitness News 7. I'm not sure it's sound legal advice.
You can do this, Bill. Look, this was $3.47 at Home Depot. It is a no trespassing sign. You can put this up in your front door, on your property line, somewhere where you can see it from the street. But this is the catch. Take a time-stamped picture of the sign. Most iPhones do this automatically. Yeah. Because what you want to prove to police is that the sign was up before the squatters moved in. You know what I mean? So you have to.
Yeah, I'm not. So.
Are you saying now that squatters just don't know they're not allowed to trespass? And if the sign was there, then they were told they can't trespass.
It was time-stamped, Your Honor. By the way, time-stamped, no trespassing. It means what it means. That's really bad advice. I mean, put it up anyway. Do you think the burglars look at the beware of dog sign and take it seriously?
That's probably the one that they do take seriously.
I think they listen more than they just read a sign. You know what I mean? I leave Chubbs at the home and make sure the front window's open. But there's a bench right in front of the front window so he can sit in it and look out.
To show that time and date stamp. That's also why video security is so important. Yeah. You can show they broke in, entered illegally, and then you have helped take away their squatter rights.
Well, that wasn't even their consumer guy. That was just one of the ladies, you know, from the desk.
Who told her this? Oh, if you just put a sign of a no trespass and they can't trespass.
I've got them now, just like the gun-free zone signs work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trump making $4 billion on his stock for Truth Social. Just luck.
I have always said this. Donald Trump gets really lucky.
Oh, this is what it is?
Of course.
Oh, it's the genius of True Social that has under 500,000 users through the last 9 months of 2023.
What have you built, Jessica?
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm always interested. I love it when people who have a media footprint pretend to know how things are built. I don't know how things are made.
No, but I know that.
I don't know anything about how
things are
made. I
know that when something is doing well,
he's
that people want to be on it.
Look at all these buildings. And when lucky. He's lucky. Yeah.
He was a billionaire before this stuff.
He was.
Is it just luck?
No, he's just lucky. He just keeps falling into luck over and over again.
All right, let's get to some remarks, shall we? This is, I don't know if I can. From the Florida Man radio app. Powered by Morris Family Farms and Morganic Meats. You can spend all weekend listening to archives. The podcasts are up commercial free of this program. Down at the bottom is a little button there. We call it delivering your remarks. Here we go.
Shannon, Maverick here. I think the price of that picture with the presidents, all those presidents together, is worth it because from what I'm hearing, it's going to be one of those where they dress up in old Western type clothing. Make it look black and white, you know, those pictures like from the festivals, you know, the county fairs.
Bailey
Hay. 8x10.
I got my picture with President Trump. I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, but you don't have an Ann Leibovitz picture.
You're right.
Genocide, Biden, and Obozo the clown should donate some of that $25 million or billion, whatever it is, that they're going to get tonight to that cop who got killed in New York City.
All right. Genocide Biden, you call him. Was the same guy?
Genocide Biden and Obozo the clown should donate some.
Two of those.
That guy was dangerously close to becoming the moistest Diaz you've ever heard of. Bidu.
His name was indeed Moises.
Hey, do you guys find it funny that there's a transgender weightlifter in a competition called the Snatch?
Hey-o!
The only reason why these guys compete against girls is because they can't compete against men. Stop voting for these liberal lunacy ideas. Stop voting Democrat because you're destroying girls' futures. Just stop doing it. Get sharp. Understand what's going on. Stop voting Democrat. It's our only chance. Be-do.
Hey, Shannon, I came into your show about 20 minutes late. I caught half of the guy talking in front of the city council. Could you tell us again where we can find that? I would love to share that with some family members. That was too funny.
You can find it.
Thank you very much.
On X by following me at The Burke Show. At The Burke Show.
Hello, Shannon. Looks like one of your competition in Orlando has declared bankruptcy. iHeart just declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So there'll be some people knocking on your door, too. Looking for a job. Be-do-be-do.
I don't think they did. They did in 2018 and came out of it in 2019. I don't think it's that. There is, what's it called? Sierra? Heather, what's the name of it?
Oh, I already threw it out. Hold on.
Anyway, Northern High Plains, yeah. High Plains, or something like that. Wasn't.
Shannon, I see a collaboration between Shandoms and the Bubba Penis Pump. You could use them together. Insert the Shandom and use it in the penis pump. When you see Shannon smiling at you, stop. If Shannon starts turning blue, hit the release valve quickly.
Yeah, Bubba, I talked to him this morning on his show. And I'm happy to announce that he's ordered me a pump and having it delivered. So that
he's not going to put his face on it at least first?
No, he liked the idea, though.
Of all the child pornography people that have been caught, the pedophiles, the child trafficking, has anybody ever done a study to find out how they identify politically, whether they're liberal Democrats or conservative?
I don't like to use those words. I'm sure there are.
It's probably pretty much down the middle.
Yeah, honestly. I'm pretty sure it's happening on both sides. It just seems to be one is kind of got the reputation for it, and the other doesn't.
Recently sold my mortgage broker shop, but getting a lot of calls about jobs. Actually, I called from Waffle House, which is crazy, and she decided to get into the details with me. Found out that the guy working the grill or girl from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. is the manager. You know, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. or whatever, that's the assistant manager. And then there's like a shift lead that works overnight. Crazy thing about all that, the GM makes $65,000 a year. Insane. Who knew?
The GM is the griddle master from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m.?
Well, probably the manager for that shift.
I mean, maybe we're looking at this all wrong, Shannon. Okay, so let's get this right. We've got one vagina, one butthole, two mouths, all right?
Oh, yeah.
And two arms, each one actuated by a different head. So, you know, arm doing something, another arm doing something else, a head doing one thing, another head doing another, you know. And then the JJ and the B-hole.
Okay. There's a whole lot of options there.
It's like playing with a boppet, though.
Sounds like a party is what I'm saying.
Man, I do some weird stuff, but I ain't banging no chick with two heads, man.
Shando, you just said kind of hot. Kind of hot? Two heads, one body. Woo! Be-do-be-do. Check that hard drive.
That dude who married the conjoined twins, he's got some serious kink in him.
He would have to, right?
It's true love. He loves her for her soul. At least the part of it's on this side.
Hold on, wait a second. I think we missed part of the conjoined twins story. Did you happen to mention how many boobs they're working with? Is it a three set or a four pack?
I'm sure it's just two. From photos I've seen.
What's up, boys? Calling Atlanta. Happy Thursday. And Shando, you had me dying laughing on Bubba's show this morning talking about penis pumps. That was gold. Pure radio gold. Bidu bidu.
Yeah, I brought it up, and then I was like, kind of regretting it. That the whole rest of the segment was about pumping it up, and I pump, and this guy pumps, and it's good for your health, and but I should get one on the front porch any day now.
We love your 15-minute segment on with the Bubba Love Fun Show.
We need to train great white sharks to attack rubber dinghies in San Diego. Be-do-be-do.
I'm all in on a black AI that uses Urban Dictionary for all of its information.
There will be one, don't you think?
Oh, there will be, yes.
Definitely be some dialect.
It'll be like an EI, Ebonics Intelligence, going on.
AI racism, czar, original sin, United States, slavery, bad, unless your great-grandfather owned plantation in Jamaica. Awkward pause, laugh like hyena. Racism, existential threat, ready to serve, dance and clap. Oh, aren't you making fun of me?
You know, a czar is quite fitting for Kamala. I mean, it's a Russian emperor, dictator, ruler, whatever. So, the way I see it is, it's fitting for her because she's a commie, just like most of Biden's administration.
All right. Thank you.
I would ask that lady if it's too late for her son to force an abortion on that chick.
Damn.
Star Trek guy here. Let's put that Waffle House shoe on your foot, Shannon. Say your company noticed everybody was charging their cell phones at work. So from then on out, you had to give up your first hour of pay just so everybody could charge their phones at work. You would be livid. And second, I believe they should have security at Waffle House. That's obvious. But $25 an hour? Even I think that's ridiculous. Maybe five. Be-do-be-do.
$3 for a meal is a benefit. That is a benefit. We don't get money toward, you know, we won't serve any food here, but it'll be like any other place that doesn't serve food giving you $3. And what's charging your phone?
He's trying to say that you're using a company product or a company benefit, which would be the electricity, and the company has to pay for the electricity, so they're going to take it out of your check.
I see.
You just got to go over there and talk to her parents. And be like, look, listen, can you have that little bitch not come over anymore? It's irritating and it needs to stop. Thank you.
It's a little bit creepy too, I'll add.
Hey guys. My sister lives down in Carlsbad, and she's actually seen one of those boats full of immigrants come ashore. And they basically just get out of the boat, and they start running through these neighborhoods. You know, Kristen lives like about a block away from the beach. And the bad thing for these immigrants is they go too far north, then they'll be storming the beach at Camp Pendleton, and that's not going to be good for anybody.
You just gotta go over there.
Wait, things are bumping around here. There we go.
Every Shannon, every Uncle Ted here, every incognito, every undercover at the big soiree fundraiser tonight in New York City. Every, I'm doing my part, every, to help out. Oh. Every, in the punch bowl, as it were. Every, holy every crap, is that Michelle Obama? No, it's Michael Strahan. My bad. I'll keep it quiet, Shannon.
Shannon, I had a piece of property, and I had problems with people trespassing. I had to put a trespassing sign on the property to keep them from trespassing, even though they were trespassing anyway. That was the only way that my attorney told me that I would have grounds if someone got hurt on the property and tried to sue me. They already know that they were trespassing because the property was posted. Beedoo beedoo.
Okay, that makes sense. To protect you legally, I don't know if that gets us water out of your house, but if this water fell through the floor, they couldn't sue you for the floor because they knew they shouldn't
be. Yeah, I mean, there's a difference also of a property, which some people, even though most people should know that it's not their property, would not consider like, oh, maybe this is public. I can walk across it. There's
right.
No trespass sign. Someone's house is very obvious. You're not allowed to go into someone's house and just live there.
Just guitar love. Yeah, she's cute, but I do her. She ain't got a brain in her head, but anyway, And about the squatters, man, just hire you one of your indigent relatives to come and house sit all the time. Nobody can move in if there's already somebody there watching TV. Be-do-be-do.
That's a good idea.
What's going on, guys? Right here. Wow, Heather, that girl, I don't know how old she is, but she's going to be a big burden on a lot of people, man, it seems like. If she's starting already and she had the baby isn't even born yet, you know, I have two grown girls of my own. It's not that difficult to take care of them as long as you have basic common sense and you're a decent individual. Your kids will turn out pretty well. Wear it out. Beetle, beetle.
So the female weightlifter won in the snatch.
No.
And the won in the clean and jerk. That's definitely transgender. Oh. Ew.
Hey, with all these transgenders competing in sports, I'd like to see some no-name school that's has next to nothing for competition put together some teams where they put the guys on and they have their long hair and some makeup and 5 o'clock shadows competing in these sports events and just smash the big name schools just for fun.
That would make some changes, don't you think? All of a sudden,
it's no different than the Canadian guy a couple last year. He's, you know, 280-pound power lifter. He was so tired. He's like, watch, I'll put on a wig and I'll win every event here. And
yeah,
he did.
What the? Where am I? Oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah, I'm Bubba, bitch. I'm going to pump you up.
All right.
This is Wycliffe Gene. I'd like to lodge a complaint there, Shando. I have Bubba's penis pump and your condoms used in tandem, and the valve got stuck and it blew the condom up so big it exploded, and then it made a bunch of welts on my stomach, and it looks like I got beat with a garden hose, and now my old lady don't even like me. And anyways, I don't know what department this is in charge of, but beady beady.
You did read the disclaimer on the back of that, I hope. I just thought it would be funny if, even funnier if Bubba's face was on it.
Disclaimer on the back just says, you can't sue me.
Yeah, you can't sue me, buddy. You're the one pumping it up.
Man, I do some weird stuff, but I ain't banging a girl with two heads, man. That was good. Beat a bit.
Why not?
Yeah. Live a little.
That's living a little for sure.
Hey guys, I'm just thinking about the conjoined twin that's not married to the guy and her giving just the whole Greta Thunberg look to him and maybe telling him how disappointed she is all the while his wife is actually just enjoying the hell out of it.
I get the feeling that if he's having intercourse with his wife, he is also definitely having intercourse with his wife's sister, his sister-in-law.
What if the wiring's messed up, though, and his wife can't feel anything at all, and it only goes to her?
Oh, I was in the break thinking of some very creative positions where both could take a big part in it.
Yeah, one of them's called the Cerberus.
The what?
Cerberus.
The Cerberus?
Cerberus, yeah. The couple multi-headed dog from hell.
Oh,
Greek mythology.
Star Trek guy here. I'm not denying $3 isn't a cheap meal. What I'm trying to get across is they only make $2.80 an hour. So technically, that's an hour's worth of pay for a meal that you might eat. Beedo beedo.
All right. If you get hungry, just play whatever it is. $12.95.
And that's probably what they'll end up doing. They'll just say, all right, that's fine. We're not going to take it out of your thing, but we're not getting employee meals anymore.
I bet that the reason they did that is because they know that everyone in there is eating $3 worth of bacon a day. Just walking by the bacon, pick up a couple of pieces, chomp, 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 snacky snack all the way or something, you know. $3. What do you sit down to some hash browns scrapped and covered and smothered and whatever.
Oh, and you know, and it's an employee meal. You add a little normal meal, gets an extra egg tossed on it. Yeah. They'll probably the steak slides on there, two steaks.
You know, they're the worst steaks, but they're perfect for breakfast, you know. All right, we're going to get dark when we return.
So, since the beginning of time, man has befriended animals, and we've used those animals for friendship. We've used them for husbandry to, you know, farming, things like that. We've also used them for war.
And animals
gonna,
of war?
And we're going to talk about some weird ways that animals have been used for war.
Like riding a horse in war? Or
Weirder than that. Just to let you know, not only are birds not real, according to most Muslim countries, they're all Jewish birds that are spying on them, too.
They're the Jewish birds.
Mm-hmm. Jewish spy birds.
All right. Also, some pro-Palestinian protesters have taken to dumping manure on, I would imagine, the lawns of some very prominent cabinet members, including Milley and what's the guy's name from?
Austin.
Oh, yeah, Austin, right in his front yard. They've got a little chant, too. Theirs is pretty good. We'll get to it next. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. White House Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, a victim of a manure dump outside his Washington, D.C. home that ultimately led to a bomb squad response. He wasn't the only Biden administration official to get the treatment. Defense Secretary Secretary Lloyd Austin, also targeted by the same pro-Palestinian group that poured a, quote, significant heap of manure in front of his Virginia residence. Video of the incident online showed a small congregation of protesters there chanting, "Austin, Austin, you ain't S. We'll keep fighting until you quit. Austin, Austin, rise and shine. Occupation is a crime."
Just poetry.
Yeah. Law enforcement said suspect tossed a small amount of manure from a car window, which led to a quick response from Secret Service. Washington, D.C. police and a bomb squad. Sullivan, Sullivan, you can't hide. You're committing genocide. These people are very rhymey.
They always are.
Better than "we ready." The Waffle House people got to step the game up.
Yeah, they got to find something to rhyme with waffle.
Oh, that's a challenge.
Well, you want the $25, you got to figure the waffle rhyming scheme.
It's true.
Show us you really want it.
With those, with that dental arrangement that that first woman had, you could probably make a lot of words sound like waffle, waffle. This is, no one's really, you know, Secretary, Department of Defense didn't respond. Lloyd didn't respond. Sullivan didn't respond. They are violating laws, I would imagine, right? You can't just run around dumping manure, you know. What do you do? What do they do about the manure? They just call Secret Service, have them clean it up?
Probably there's a manure guy that's got to come by.
It smells. For sure. But I would say that was a pretty big deal. The Secretary of Defense is home.
Are they using the same manure guy, or did they call? Do you have to call around and be like, "Hey, I need a truckload of manure. I'm gonna dump it over on the Secretary of Defense's yard. So, are you cool with that?"
I don't think they could DNA test that manure to find out where it came from, but there's got to be a lot of farms in Virginia, you know, not far from, you know, the D.C. area.
But did the farm know their manure was going to be used for a protest, or did they just some guy came by like, "Hey, I need a truck full of manure," and they're like, "Hey, here you go."
You tell them you're trying to fertilize your garden and you need you know, a yard of manure or whatever. "Man, you ain't gonna put this manure on the politician's yard, are you?"
I had enough issues with that.
Yeah. I had Secret Service poking around here.
Did you know they can get DNA from poo?
Sampling my manure right now. I mean, you know, And then you got to find someone to drive it and dump it. And you got to be pretty strategic, I would imagine. I don't know if these homes have front yards or maybe just a parking space or a little courtyard area.
You got to go fast. You got to pull up, back in, dump it as fast as you can, drive off.
I mean, at least they're not getting the manure spreader like they have in Spain and France and just
chucks it,
shooting it all over the front of their house, just liquid funk everywhere. It's peaceful, right? Not causing any damage.
Yeah.
Temporary discomfort. You got to smell it. You got to hire someone to remove it. Or you got to get out there with a shovel. Something tells me that Jake Sullivan's not going to shovel manure.
No.
Nor is Secretary of Defense. Simon & Schuster decided they're going to really pass on a book. They had already hired somebody to write. Alex Thompson, a reporter with Politico, then joined Axios as a national political correspondent, had signed a contract with Simon & Schuster to pen a comprehensive book on the Biden presidency. The book was expected to provide a fresh reporting from a journalist with a firsthand look at the White House transition. It was going to be released in early 2024, which we're firmly, I think, still in. Thompson confirmed the deal with Simon & Schuster is now defunct, but he noted he's still writing the promised book. If you're a publisher and you're interested, email the number. Email me. My number is in my bio. So he's writing a book. Simon & Schuster's like, yeah, we don't see a big market for this.
I'm going to email him. Like, I got $25.50. You give me that book and we'll call it a wash.
So, Politico's been sounding the alarm about how badly Biden-related books have been selling. 6 months ago, published an article entitled Biden Books Are Still Bombing. It recently listed three supposedly major books about the Biden presidency, only one of which has sold more than 10,000 copies. The other two have sold 6,500 combined.
That's really bad.
Yes. But New York Times would probably still put it on the bestseller list. Biden books, they just don't draw interest.
What's the interest about? You get a backstory about a guy that's lied about almost everything he's told?
That would be more interesting. If it was an honest look at him and his career and the guffaws and the lies and the corruption and the bribery and all of that, I bet that would sell.
Yeah.
Peter Schweitzer sells those books like crazy.
Would be an interesting book if it was almost just word for word, where he, starting from when he was young, he dropped another one today where I'm interested if they can find that out. He tried to tell everybody that he remembers when he was 14 years old and his dad had to tell him that his work canceled his health insurance.
NBC News' Jonathan Allen co-authored a book called Shattered to try to put a positive spin on Biden's re-election. They said Biden's tried to be a kind of drama-free president, certainly in comparison to his predecessor. And that makes it harder to write a book, both in terms of getting information and turning his story into one that's compelling for readers. Eric Nelson of Broadside Books, conservative wing of HarperCollins, said he was a little more blunt. He said Biden hasn't done anything interesting.
No, he hasn't.
If your nickname is Sleepy Joe, you kind of have to simultaneously say this person is ruining everything and is supremely evil, but he's also inept. And that's the challenging combination. let's get dark, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
All right.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
Since man first tricked that wolf into coming by the fire and sitting next to him while he fed him some stuff and then became man's best friend from there on out.
Is that how it went down?
I mean, probably pretty simple to that. There was a bunch of wolves, man sitting around fire, still not.
We're supposed to believe that all dogs came from wolves.
Yeah, I mean, probably.
Chihuahuas, really?
I mean, could you imagine the terror of a pack of chihuahuas chasing you down through there?
No, will they finally catch you?
Uh-huh.
Forget it.
You're getting tore apart by a large group of yipping dogs. But if, since then, we've tried to figure out every animal we can find, and we've like, hey, we want them to help us, but also, can we use them to kill that other guy across the way that we don't like?
Yeah.
So we've tried to figure out things that we could do military-wise with
like ferocious animals, or this one like fleas?
Not always. Sometimes it's fleas, sometimes ferocious animals. Sometimes we just have a weird mix of ideas on things we can and can't do with animals. And we'll start with the fact that Jewish spy birds.
Jewish spy birds.
Yeah, they're not real. But a lot of the Muslim countries think they are. Actually, you know, Israel has a complex relationship with its neighbors, and the mistrust actually breeds, perhaps exemplified by the frequency by which Muslim nations capture birds on the accusations of spying. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, Sudan, Hezbollah, and Turkey have actually detained endangered species of birds, vultures, kestrels, and other type of birds as well.
Because they think...
Jewish spy birds, yep.
Wow.
In most cases, it's a GPS tracking device on them or other ornithological equipment that arouses suspicion. They see a bird with some beepers on it, something beeping on it, they're like, ah, they're definitely spying on us.
Maybe just tracking his migration or something.
Yeah, it's a byproduct of Israel's location along migratory routes and subsequent interest of scientists. Not even always a Israeli, you know, all GPS. Right. It could be even someone else, another country.
Egypt,
just checking
Jordan.
Out, yeah. As you have, no birds have been found guilty of espionage. But the fact that these conspiracy theories are taken seriously enough doesn't bode well for future Middle East harmony. On another level entirely are the Egyptian rumors that Israel was behind a series of deadly shark attacks as well. So,
wow.
It stemmed from the governor of South Sinai refusing to rule out that the Mossad had not created evil Muslim killing sharks. Don't laugh too much. We'll talk about sharks again.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, back in the early 16th century, a rhinoceros has arrived in Lisbon. That's a gift from an Indian ruler to the Portuguese King Manuel. That's the first rhino in Europe since Roman times. It caused quite the stir. And German artist Albrecht Dürer, he created a woodcut based on the letters and sketches he had received about what the rhino looked like. Get a chance to look it up one time. It's
not
awesome.
Accurate.
No, he's got like weird horns sticking out of his back. It looks like he's got armor on. He may have actually had armor, though. This actually became the primary image of a rhino if you circulated in Europe. So back in this early 16th century, if someone was like, here's a rhino, and that's the picture you saw.
And you believe that that's what a rhino looked like?
For the next two centuries.
What's the guy's name?
Albrecht Dürer, D-U-R-E-R. It had many inaccuracies, scaly legs, armored rivets, a gorget, and also a horn on its back. But one suggestion for the appearance of his rhino...
Well, I wasn't that far off.
It's weird.
It's got armor and you can buy a print of his rhinoceros.
Yeah, it's pretty well known
at Wayfair.
They do believe that it's possible that it did have actual armor, though, that was either arrived with the animal or was forged on King Manuel's orders. Armored or not, though, King Manuel did arrange a battle, though, between his rhino and a captive elephant.
Okay.
This was a test. Pliny the Elder's assertion that these two animals were natural enemies. Pliny knew if you had a rhino and you had an elephant near each other.
Oh, they hey, it's like a cat and a mouse.
Couldn't do anything about it. Well, unfortunately, in a complete anticlimax, the creatures actually shied away from each other and refused to fight.
Really?
Mm-hmm. His perverse experiment failed, so Manuel gifted the rhino to the Pope.
Oh, my God. I'm sure the Pope was very grateful for that.
Sadly, the ship transporting the rhino sunk, and the animal drowned before actually reaching Rome. So.
Oh, why? The rhino made it sink? Or just sunk for
it
something?
Just sunk, yeah. Damn. But the Pope did not get his rhino. Could you imagine a Pope riding a rhino, though?
No.
It's great. I talked about sharks. Back in 2006, the Pentagon, yes, ours, unveiled a program regarding potential brain implants for fish, wherein a bundle of electrodes could be inserted into the creature's brain to allow the stimulation of the central nervous system via remote control. While the device was meant to assist research on animals interact with their environment, as well as to provide insight into human paralysis, the Pentagon suggested putting it on sharks.
On or in?
Well, in. Well, okay. So we could have remote-controlled sharks. And then we were going to put the laser beams on.
Laser beams, yeah.
Close. Which made me laugh because of the remark earlier about the guy that wanted to have the sharks trained to attack the migrant boats. Well, apparently we thought about remote controllers of sharks. The Navy's thought to capitalize on a shark's ability to glide quietly through the water, allow it to trail in a ship's wake without being noticed. Sharks are also capable of sensing delicate electrical gradients and chemical waste, adding to their potential stealth capabilities. Unfortunately, though, nothing seems to have come from the project, at least that they'll admit. So be careful if you're out there swimming. There may be remote-controlled sharks by the government.
Right. Maybe try to interfere with their signal. Most of those remote signals are the same. Just bring you one out from your put the antenna up that baby, drive that shark around.
Just imagine you got
not today. Go left, right.
Little RC boat, and for some reason the signals cross up, and you're all of a sudden you got a shark.
You're controlling
going back
a giant white shark.
During the dark days of 1941, the UK was desperate to find ways to hit back at Germany. Charles Fraser Smith, in Section 15 of the Special Operations Executive, or the SOE, often considered the inspiration for James Bond. They devised many unique weapons. Foremost among them was the rat bomb.
Rat?
Rat, yes. The rat bomb.
A rat bomb.
The idea was to place explosive-laden rat corpses in German coal supply to disable the boilers. It's right there. We're going to chuck a rat.
Oh. Well, and then they tried to stuff some explosives in the rats.
Yeah, so what they did, and I think we may have talked this one a long time ago.
That's so familiar.
Is they would take rat corpses and shove a bunch of explosives in them, and then they would toss them down in the area by the boiler. So, of course, if you're a German soldier or maintenance guy or whatever, and you walk down like, oh, gross, rat. And you pick up the rat, and you would toss it into the boiler.
Boom.
And, yes, the SOE procured 100 rats for this purpose. The rats were meticulously skinned, filled with plastic explosives, and then sewn back up. Unfortunately, the rats were intercepted on their way to occupied Europe, and the scheme unveiled was never put into practice. Bizarrely, the rodents still succeeded in interfering with German economy, which was disrupted by the continent-wide search through coal supplies, and trouble caused them as much greater success to Britain than if the rats had actually been used. The story got out, and they spent months looking through all their coal supply areas for these explosive rats that actually...
Oh, because word, an itty rat is a potential explosive.
It could be. Glowworms and garden slugs also. So thousands of glowworms were captured in jars to provide illumination of the trenches for World War I.
What's a glowworm? I don't know if I've ever seen a glowworm.
I'm assuming something like a firefly type of thing.
Yeah, same deal. We gotta have a whole bunch of them to light up a room, I would imagine.
I think when I think of glowworm is all, it was the 80s toy, like for kids. You squeezed him and he lit up. He had a little like nightcap on him. Slugs, though, had a less obvious use, as they were an early warning system for mustard gas.
How's that?
See, the U.S. Army tested a slew of animals, including cows, rats, mice, dogs, guinea pigs, fleas, and flies, but ultimately settled on the garden slug.
To be a warning for a gas attack.
Mm-hmm. It turns out that slugs could detect one particle of mustard gas per 10 to 12 million particles of an air, at which point they'd indicate their discomfort and provide ample time for soldiers to don gas masks. Huh. I guess they would curl up if they felt any of it in there.
That's pretty smart. So if you have a guy that carries around the slugs everywhere.
The danger point for a human is one particle per 4 million, so they were three times ahead of you.
All right.
They were actually sent into battle with soldiers in July of 1918. In the middle of the Spanish Civil War, some 1,200 National Civil Guards found themselves trapped in the monastery of Santa Maria de la Cabeza.
Santa Maria!
The head of Santa Maria de la Cabeza, yeah. Crucial supplies of food, medicine, and ammunition could only be obtained by air. Facing a shortage of parachutes, the Nationalists devised an ingenious solution. Try to think this one out. You don't have enough parachutes to drop the supplies to these soldiers that are trapped up high in this monastery. What would you use?
An animal?
It's an animal, yeah.
Vulture.
Close. Turkeys.
Really?
Yes. They devised an ingenious solution, which was attaching supplies to live turkeys. The turkeys would naturally flap their wings, which slowed their descent and enabled them to deliver fragile supplies. Furthermore, having fulfilled their parachute and function, the turkeys could also become delicious turkey food.
That's true.
Yeah.
But they fly?
I think it was more they panic, the wing panic flapping enough that it would slow themselves down.
Yeah, WKRP in Cincinnati taught us that they don't fly.
I think it wouldn't matter when you're tossing them out of planes, even if they did fly, if they have supplies attached to them, they're only going to slow.
Right. So they're just looking to slow down the supplies so they don't explode when they hit the ground. Yeah.
Nevertheless, after 8 months, the defenders who had staunchly refused to surrender were overcome by a mass assault of about 20,000 troops. The nationalist leader, Captain Santiago Cortez Gonzalez, was mortally wounded in the final assault, during which his final order was the Civil Guard shall die but shall never yield. And also, turkeys are awesome.
And they're right. You can eat them. Once they hit the ground, they become a part of the supply.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't have to put food on them.
There's a couple of meals right there.
You got a turkey added to it. Bees.
Bees.
They're actually one of humanity's oldest weapons.
Weapon?
Mm-hmm. Groups of Neolithic people lobbed hives at enemy trapped in caves. It's, I mean, brilliant.
Well, you put them way back in there.
Well, no.
Or you let them in there.
If you're going after another tribe and that tribe goes running into the cave, you go and grab a couple hives of bees and just chuck some bees in there and they come running out. They don't stay in the cave very long when the bees come all over them.
Yeah.
Actually, bees have featured multiple times in the Third Mithridatic War, which was between 73 and 63 BC, between Rome and the Kingdom of Pontus. During several sieges, Roman sappers were driven back by swarms of bees released into their tunnels, while another Roman-led army, led by Pompey, was undone while it unknowingly gorged itself on some toxic honey.
Oh, yeah. They poisoned the honey.
They did. Romans.
So you got guys, warriors rolling around. I got a chariot, a bunch of horses, and they got a guy, hey, bring the bees. And they're rolling around the countryside with beehives ready to use.
Yeah, a bee launcher, yep. The Romans actually evidently learned from this experience, as their tendency to use beehives as projectiles led to a shortage of honey in later years of the empire. They were tossing so many beehives, it was hard to get honey.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Bees remained a part of medieval warfare's easy low-tech weapon, being used by Henry I, Richard the Lionheart during the Third Crusade, and in Iberia. As late as the 18th century, bees were used by the Habsburg force defending Belgrade against the Ottomans. Finally, in modern times, the deployment of bees as bomb sniffers at airports has been suggested, with scientists successfully conditioning bees to actually seek out explosives. But the airports are already terrifying enough. Could you imagine if you're trying to get to your plane, all of a sudden just swarm of bees comes flying by, gets to your bag because you got explosives in it because you're a monster? But even worse, if they find your drugs.
Oh yeah,
bee snitches. Donkeys. We've had a long history of uses draft animals in wartime,
hauling stuff around, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mainly
they famously served as distinction as stretcher bearers in World War I. In recent years, however, they've been put to a more insidious use as living IEDs. These DB IEDs, or donkey burn IEDs, have been deployed against coalition forces in both Iraq and Afghanistan with quite a bit of success. Suspicions are raised by the tendencies of insurgents to abandon an animal within sight of a military compound or stand in the background and actively urge the creature onward. So if you were in Afghanistan, you see a guy going, get on out of here, donkey.
That means that donkey's got some bombs on it.
Israel also has faced bomb-laden donkeys. Mainly in the Gaza area, they have them as well. There's also a story that mule bombs were deployed in the New Mexico campaign of the American Civil War. At the Battle of Valverde, Union Captain Patty Graydon chose two faithful yet elderly mules and loaded them with howitzer shells. He led them to within 140 meters, or about 450 feet of the Confederate camp. He lit the fuse and said, get on out of here, mules.
Damn. Oh, is that a fuse? God, he just turned them into suicide bombers.
Unfortunately, the mules were super faithful to the Union and attempted to follow their master when he withdrew, so Graydon had to gallop his way on out of the blast radius. As a result, there were no casualties, although the explosion did cause a stampede of the Confederate mule herd. Do you ever think about having yourself a bear moat?
A bear moat?
A bear moat, yep. A moat with just nothing but bears in it.
No.
Well, the ruling Rosenberg family of the Kesky Krumlov Castle, which is now Czech Republic, they actually claim descent from the noble Italian Orsini family. The name Orsini is derived from the Italian word Orsa, meaning she bear. So the Rosenbergs adapted bears as shield bearers on their coat of arms. So technically they were shield bearer she bears. The Rosenbergs also acquired bears as a boost to the family mythology, and you needed a place to put bears, and they put them into a moat around their castle.
How do you keep the bears in a moat?
Well, you have big walls.
Okay.
We're not talking like water.
Like a ditch. Like a zoo.
Like a big bear ditch, yeah.
Okay.
While the Rosenbergs themselves died out in 1611, their bears remain. The current bear moat was established during the 30-Year War, but the first report of bears there is from 1707, and they inhabited the moat continuously in the periods from 1730 to 1790, 1857 to 1887, and 1907 to 1935. You had a sweet bear moat. Yep.
Holy crap.
Throughout these periods, the bears have their numbers replenished by natural births, donations, and every once in a while you got to buy a bear to put in your bear moat. And they purchase them from local zoos. The creatures were presided over by an official bear keeper. Today, actually, four bears remain in the moat, although it is now kind of more like a zoo captivity instead of a bear moat.
Protection.
They're actually much loved celebrities with the community celebrating their birthdays, as well as Christmas Eve Bear Festival.
Of course.
And finally, if you ever wanted to be on a cavalry, riding a horse into battle,
yeah,
or maybe Hannibal's elephants, what about a moose? Canadian moose cavalry. No, these are actually Swedish ones. So
they ride the moose?
They tried.
Oh, yeah.
The late 17th century saw Sweden working to secure its recently acquired empire from hostile neighbors, which would eventually trigger the Scanian War and the Great Northern War. According to legend, Swedish King Charles the 11th was open to military innovation, namely the idea of the moose cavalry.
You got to find a moose and break it first, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too crazy. The moose are already used to pull sleighs in Swedish courier service and were better suited than horses to the northern climate. In fact, moose were commonly used as mounts in Siberia, where they were capable of outrunning the other militaries. This irked Tsar Ivan the Terrible so much that he exterminated the Siberian natives and banned moose husbandry completely.
Good Lord.
Although the Swedes achieved some success and were able to train and ride moose, however, the moose's vulnerability to livestock disease, fear of gunfire, and tendency to terrify all horses in its vicinity meant the project was discontinued. In modern time, the Soviets themselves experimented with some war mooses in the 1930s, but the animals were unprepared for the outbreak of winter war, and you know, you had to cancel the old war moose project.
Damn it.
So.
Cancel the moose. when we return, robotic police dog has been shot 3 times.
He's doing okay, though.
Yeah, they do say that he's credited with avoiding potential bloodshed. And Harvard University has finally taken the book Destinies of the Soul, which has been at the Houghton Library since the 1930s, and corrected one small thing about it that they had an ethical issue with. The human skin that was binding the book.
Weak.
Stick around. Yeah. Hang on. It's a Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. This is a weird but funny story. A Chinese national flew to Singapore with no luggage, with just the clothes that he had on. So he was scamming people for access to a Taylor Swift the Eras Tour concert. So he sent a woman a screenshot of a purported VIP ticket to the show that said it would be held on Saturday, March 4th. She agreed to buy 3 Eras Tour tickets for $760 apiece. The screenshot ticket was a false ticket shot. March 4th, 2024 was a Monday, not a Saturday. Further, the number 4 was way too big. They believe it was artificially added. He told, his name is Yang, he told the lady to use the screenshot to get in. She tried and couldn't. So he later contracted her, told her to go to a different gate at the concert. He met 3 women at the gate, instructed one of them to make a payment to a Alipay, which is kind of a Zelle or something like that user. She transferred more money, 12,000 yuan. Around 5 p.m., he noticed there were no security officers at 3 of the 6 turnstiles. So he's basically told these women, he charged them a lot of money to get them in. He had no way to do it. He attempted to distract security and sneak them in. So,
and he did.
Yeah, but here's the part I don't understand. They entered the stadium through another gate. They met the three women, handed them the VIP wristbands. They don't know how he entered the stadium. He told them to proceed to the VIP seating area, and then he left the stadium. Cops were notified and dispatched to the scene. They arrested Yang and Lee, his assistant. During the investigations, though, this is the weird part of this. I don't know why it would even come up that whether or not this guy was a fan of Taylor Swift. But he claimed to be a fan. I mean, how does that come up in the police interrogation?
Oh, maybe this guy was like, oh, no, big Taylor Swift fan. Don't worry about it.
So he did. during the interrogation, he claimed that he was a huge Taylor Swift fan. However, he was unable to name or sing any Taylor Swift songs. And on top of that, he was unable to provide a satisfactory explanation for why he could not name any or sing any of her songs. Man, Asian people have such a weird, you know, like that's now all of a sudden bigger than the fact that he swindled three ladies out of money. Are you not no song? Sing one Taylor Swift song.
Okay, now give me a satisfactory reason why you can't. Why,
you have satisfactory reason? I don't know that that was involved in any of the charges that he received. Like, he was also charged with lying about being Taylor Swift fan. I mean, were they? Would they have known?
Oh, yeah, they would have.
You think so?
Singapore officers. They would have known it.
I don't know any, but, you know, if I'm in a foreign country, they said, yeah, sing one song. And I went, oh, yeah, how about this? I'll sing Cotton Eye Joe. And they go, okay, you're a fan, okay. I mean, but they got to be, I bet they're big fans.
Oh, they're huge fans. And then they're just, then they were trying, okay, now which one Travis Kelce favorite?
If you're such a big fan, what Travis Kelce's brother's name? You know, big fan. But yeah, he has been arrested and sentenced to 3 months in jail. Only for, here's another weird thing. One charge of criminal trespass, and the other charge is just cheating. Cheating.
Are you a cheater?
And ironically, that's probably the worst charge if you're from Singapore is to have a cheating charge on your rap sheet.
I see here you cheater.
I love Cadbury eggs. I know everyone. Heather, you're not a big fan, or you don't eat that kind of garbage?
No. We eat them.
Yeah.
My husband's a huge fan.
Yeah. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah.
I try not to look at the stuff inside, you know, because it's supposed to look like a yolk and a white egg white and an egg yolk.
I prefer the caramel ones.
Oh. That takes me off the. That's not the original, though.
It's not the original, but. You know, it's the same chocolate on the outside, and you just get a gigantic hunk of caramel in the middle of it.
They are decadent as hell. And they know just where to put them at the 7-Eleven to make you buy a few.
Yeah, but it's always the weirdest, too, because you're like, okay, give me, there's $1.25 worth of these eggs here.
Yeah. I'll have these right here. You're just admitting that you have no self-control whatsoever. All right, I'll have these eggs right here on this horny goat weed. You may have some of that right there. Okay, some of this gum. Oh, four of these lighters. Okay.
I need the switchblade and also...
that little glass marijuana pipe down there.
Can you mean the one that looks like Rick and Morty?
Well, you think you're a freak for Cadbury eggs here. In the UK, they worship them. Right? I mean, it's a big deal. Cadbury, you know...
Yeah, Cadbury's company, huge there.
Yeah. So they have a store, the original Cadbury family founded the business, deeply motivated by the Christian faith, used profits from the business to serve charitable causes across the world. Now they believe they have shamed them. Cadbury, at least in the UK, they're known for the Cadbury Easter egg, correct? For 100 years, the Cadbury Easter egg is now been changed to the Cadbury gesture egg. I don't even know. I don't even know what that, I don't, is, can gesture be used as a, I mean, is it being used as an adjective here?
I almost like it's a, I'm giving you these eggs as a good gesture. Enjoy these eggs that
on
I have
this
given
special
to you.
Day,
on the special mark Sunday, this,
which is Trans Awareness Visibility Day, a gesture egg. I do think
I don't know why they wouldn't just call them the Cadbury cream eggs that because don't here they don't really sell them as Easter eggs. I don't think they sell them as cream, Cadbury cream eggs.
Is that what they're called?
I gotta think back in the commercial because we've had they play that commercial like every year for the past 40 years.
With the, oh, that's the oldest commercial
with the,
going.
With the bunny and then the everyone, pig. Where,
yeah, they're auditioning to become the Cadbury bunny. Anyway, they come around Easter, right? I don't know that you can get them year round, can you?
I think you can, but
Heather, can you get this thing year round?
I don't know. I don't think we look for them year round.
I don't look for them. I only get them if I'm at a gas station and they're on the or you know a 7-Eleven or my wife brings them home as part of her little Easter deal. Gesture eggs. Yeah. A fresh store, which I guess is a candy store. They ran the discount store. They denied having any involvement in this gesture egg stuff. The picture shows a promotional poster for gesture eggs at the Springfield's Outlet Cadbury shop. You could get gesture eggs, two for whatever 10 pounds is. I don't know.
I'm hoping that's a pack of them, too, because that doesn't seem like a very good deal.
No, it doesn't. I mean, okay, do they have to be, they were marketed around Easter. Were they not?
Yeah, you're not getting an egg any other time of the year. This is not something like, there's just an egg chocolate shape.
I don't see Cadbury eggs around Halloween when it's candies galore.
Actually, I think they've tried them before, but they were more like green slime inside of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is kind of expensive. But they've marketed around Easter because they've associated with the Cadbury bunny, right?
Well, and also the egg part of it is the Easter egg part of it is the whole reason it's that shape.
Is there any other candy that's regularly made in an egg? I know Reese's does one that looks like an egg shape, but they hardly put any effort into it at all. When they pull that thing out, that's like
Snickers does one, but it's like half an egg.
Yeah, that's what Reese's does. It's half an egg on a piece of cardboard, but it hardly looks. It's barely an egg. It's like they're like, all right, get something close to an egg. Well, now they're getting backlash there because they've dropped the word Easter from the Cadbury Easter egg.
They just could have come up with something better other than gesture.
Yeah,
it could have been like Cadbury gift eggs or something.
Cadbury gift eggs, Cadbury cream egg, whatever. Gesture.
Cadbury Happy Good Time Egg.
If you're looking for a gig, does it pay anything to be a connoisseur for the MLB?
Depends on what you're doing.
Well, you get a little bit of dough. Online betting company BetUS is looking for a wiener lover to travel to all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums to scope out the biggest wieners in Major League Baseball, hot dogs. They call your title will be Wiener Connoisseur. You'll be responsible for traveling to every stadium and help determine which team has the biggest wiener, ranking them on girth, length, weight, and price.
Yeah, they really need to put parentheses hot dog every time.
Yeah.
I mean, they know what they're doing, but
how's the girth on that wiener, huh?
You're going to have some awkward conversations with somebody. That
or you're going to have a lot of guys like, I'd love to be the wiener connoisseur and then judge on girth and length.
Just trying to get into the locker room.
Yeah.
Hey, Acuna, they told me I had to measure for girth.
I'm here for the wiener connoisseur contest. You get a little bit of money, $2,500 in cash, a $500 gift card to the MLB shop, a year-long subscription to MLB TV, and they'll cover, this is the big part, they cover all your travel expenses and tickets to every game.
Yeah, it's quite a deal. I'm like, you're not getting much money out of it, but if you get a
air travel and tickets to every game,
yeah, I mean, you
all have, to eat a hot dog.
You need to be someone that's retired or something like
there,
that. Yeah.
You go there, you know, before things get kicking. You go, you get the hot dog, you make your notes, you take your pictures, enjoy the game. You're in a city you've never been in a stadium you've never been in.
Now, is it just standard stadium hot dog, or do you like, because I know certain stadiums have different hot dogs and different styles and.
Different levels of hot dogs?
Yeah.
There's not one hot dog dealer for the entire stadium that aren't the same?
That's what I'm at. I mean, we're asking just plain standard hot dog guy.
I will agree. The one that when the guy comes down the thing hauling the hot dogs and he's yelling at you, that dog that's wrapped up in that foil thing is way different than if you went and stood in line, I think, and got one of the
You're getting the discount dog from the guy walking down the stairs.
Yeah, and it's been out for a while and... Who's on the horn over there?
Kevin, and apparently he likes Cadbury eggs. So.
Let's talk to Kevin. Hello, Kevin. Thanks for holding. How are you?
Shando, what's up, buddy?
What's happening?
So, Cadbury eggs that we get in the U.S. are now made by Hershey's, no longer by Cadbury.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I told you a couple years ago they changed. Oh. They suck.
Yeah.
They're not as good as they used to.
Yeah, damn. They switched it maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years ago they switched it.
Well, you should have told me that.
They're not as good.
Yeah. I wouldn't have noticed. They're still pretty damn good. I probably, you know, unless I had a side-by-side, you know. But what were you saying?
If you go to Canada, you can still get them.
Why the hell would I want to go to Canada?
To get the Cadbury Cream.
Just go because I live close.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what.
The hot dog thing.
If you're ever up there and you see some at the gas station, pick me up a couple, will you?
Okay.
I'll trade you a T-shirt or something.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
The hot dog thing?
Yes.
Have you ever tried a white Texas hot?
No. Why not? It's a white sausage.
No?
Right?
They're from a company called Zweigel's Hot Dogs.
Okay.
In Rochester, New York. They're great.
I'll check it out.
I think you can get Florida if you look around good enough. Because a lot of the people from here moved down there and... Bring them down there.
Demand for the white hot dogs came up. All right. I'll check it out, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. See ya.
Don't worry about that one. That's lines locked.
$2,500 in cash is good. You got a $500 gift card you can buy. That's enough to buy you a cap for every game in 30 stadiums. No, maybe not.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're right.
Hello, you maybe.
Those caps aren't cheap.
You're not even getting like a bobblehead at every stadium. You might be able to get a pin at every stadium.
You're making 30 stops. You got a $500 gift card. Maybe just go one time, get your favorite team's jersey and a hat, your player, and then, you know, that's probably all you're going to get. But airfare and tickets to the game. And I would hope they wouldn't put you, in the nosebleed.
Well, probably, because they don't care. You're there to get the hot dog.
You're going
to
eat a hot dog. The other food at ballparks every ballpark has a thing, you know, like a specialty item that they're known for. In Atlanta, it was the Pizzerger, which is 2 8-inch pizzas inverted, I think, so that the crust is on the outside of each, and they're the buns of a massive one pound burger patty. And it's just an absolute slop. I split it with like 3 of the guys. We couldn't finish it.
I'm trying to see what the
do best. They change it every year?
They every year kind of is you add something new to be special. This year is Citi Field is going to be a Sunday donut milkshake.
Okay.
It's a sweet and salty gargantuan milkshake with
always something the worst.
Topped with sprinkles and glazed donuts and finished with your choice of popcorn or Oreo crumbles.
Holy crap.
Yankee Stadium has the 99 burger. It's an Aaron Judge-inspired burger. It's made of 2 Wagyu patties, cheese, pickles, onions, and a secret sauce. It costs $20 and only 99 of them were made at each home game.
Only 99 are made?
Yes.
What?
So you got to go in there running against you. Skyline Chili Nachos.
All right.
Some crab fries in San Francisco.
Wow. Wiener.
Oh, here's the boomstick at Globe Life Field in Texas.
The boomstick?
Yeah. It's a 2-foot-long hamburger inside it's a 2-foot-long hamburger inside like a 2-foot hot dog bun. So it's like a hamburger hot dog type of thing.
It's 2 feet long.
2 feet long.
How much does that cost?
It doesn't give me a price on
it. Yeah. Like a market price?
It's got meat, cheese, topped with jalapenos, chili, and onion rings.
Ugh.
There's also a two-foot-long hot dog known as the boomstick as well.
You go out to one of these and you eat that, you know, and then you're just weighed down. If you're in an outdoor stadium on a sunny day, now you're greasy and you're sweaty and you, well, you know, you can't drink as many beers. You feel bloated. If it's a long game, it goes into extra innings, you're definitely going to the bathroom
sits
there.
Sits there and chows down on a big old burger or pizza
at the stand, at your, you know, I mean, at your seat.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, sitting proper. What's going on out there?
Water's freaking me out, I guess.
Oh. Speaking of hot dogs, 7-Eleven has gotten together with a company called Miracle Seltzer. And on four new seltzer water flavors. These aren't alcoholic, right?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just seltzer waters.
What is the... How we just renamed soda to make it... Oh, that's soda. I don't drink sodas. I'll have a seltzer, though. Well, I'm sure that's
there's
a
no sugar.
There's no sugar in this?
Usually there's no sugar in them.
Okay. The flavors are lemon lime, green apple, sweet orange, and hot dog water. A hot dog. Could be a prank, but we've done pranks before. If it's 7-Eleven, though, I don't know if it's a kind of prank. Hot dog water is disgusting.
Yeah, I think this is an April Fool's thing a little early. And they're just trying to get ahead of it because everybody does their April Fool's on the first. So they're trying to hide, like, oh, we got you ahead of time. You fell for the hot dog water.
Snoop Dogg's not going to get me. Harvard has removed a book. At least the binding of a book, a 19th century book, De Destine de l'Ame, Destinies of the Soul. It's been at the Houghton Library since the 1930s. In 2014, scientists took a look at it and determined that the odd material that it was bound with was, in fact, human skin. They've now announced that they have removed the binding due to ethically fraught nature of the book's origins and subsequent history. The book was written by Arsene, I won't try to say it, Hausse, in the mid-1880s. He was said to give it to a friend, Dr. Ludovic Bouland, a doctor who then reportedly bound the book with skin from the body of an unclaimed female patient who had died of natural causes.
Why'd you take the skin off the book? Leave the book on leave that with some skin book.
I mean, yeah, you destroyed.
That lady's been dead for, 400 years, I think?
Right. The ethically fraught nature. I don't know. I heard of a company that you had to contract with them when you're living, but they will come and get your skin where you have tattoos.
Yeah, that's actually big with Yakuza members.
Yeah, and then they'll cure it and whatever they got to do to it, and then stretch it on, like, say, a lampshade.
A lot of the Yakuza, that's like passed down to your kids. Is you get your
great great grandfather's back piece.
Well, most of them are like front and back piece because they can hide it under all their other clothing. So basically, you get it looks like a torso on your wall of your grandpa's Yakuza
skin?
Tattoos. Yeah.
That's a little much. Yeah, I don't know why they would that made that book unique and historical and special. But because they had icky poo with it.
It's just the fact that it's 400 years. You're not going to, the lady's long gone.
Right.
She's not being disrespected.
Finally, she can rest in peace.
It's a skin book. It's
okay, it would have been weird if it had like boob skin and nipple skin or something like that.
Yeah, if it's like an Ed Gein nipple belt, then it's a little weird. But even that's on display still.
Ed Gein's nipple belt?
I don't know if it's out on and about, but I know I've seen pictures of it.
Oh, God. All right. We must take a break. Our buddies will join us next. The Kimmer and Pete Davis and Flounder from XL 106.3, our buddies in Atlanta. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. As we wait on Pete and Cameron Flounder, they'll usually send me a text when they are ready. Get my phone ready. Alaska House of Representatives passed a bill that raised their age of sexual consent to 18 from the current 16. And if passed by the Senate, it'll become the 13th state to have 18 as the age of consent. Arizona, California, Delaware, Florida, Idaho, Kentucky, North Dakota, Oregon, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, and Wisconsin. It was originally about sexual abuse of minors, requiring shelters for runaway minors to screen them for victimization relating to sexual abuse, sex trafficking, and commercial sexual exploitation. Then they started tacking on amendments to it. The problem is the bill is the amendment. They tried to wedge House Bill 67, another one related to sexual offenders. The problem is it creates a loophole for current convicted sexual abusers or convicted, yeah, if they've been, that it also means that if a senior in high school has sex with a junior who is 17 and 11 months, for example, it's first degree abuse of a minor punishable by 99 years in prison. And it would include a high school senior banging a junior. Also, it creates a loophole for sex offenders. Because now, before, they couldn't talk to any minor, anyone under the age of 16. Now the 16 and 17 are wide open.
It's crazy. I'm sure they're going to have to put some sort of, Romeo and Juliet laws.
What is that?
That's the one where...
can't kiss a bitch while she's asleep?
No, it's like a guy can be within
that's a different story.
3 or 4 years, and it's as long oh. even though there's not age consent, it's not. I forget what the whole thing is with it.
Yeah,
I think the state of Florida has it.
Well, I'm surprised that there's still states with age of consent at 16. That's creepy.
I think Kentucky was trying to drop it. Why you also could marry your cousin and
they wanted to lower the age back down to 16. And cousin love is alive and well in Kentucky. the rampaging monkeys in Thailand. You've heard of these things. They what are they? Macaques.
Yeah, but that is a great band name.
Rampaging monkeys.
Oh, rampaging right. monkeys in Thailand.
In tourist towns, you know, for. In Lopburi, for example, is about 100 miles north of Bangkok. That's notorious for these monkey populations. People come there, and they were cute, and that little town north of Bangkok probably thought it was a great tourist attraction.
Yeah, tourists come in here, hand them your papaya.
Yeah, you've got to buy the papaya from, you know, Lee, who's right there, and then you feed it to the monkey. But after a while, these monkeys get fed up. They start to breed like crazy. So now they've had to, they've got to target these monkeys and call them. They've become dangerous. And they have a monkey hit squad out right now. Rampaging monkey hit squad. Local police have issued slingshots and tranquilizer guns.
Yeah, because I think they didn't want them just gunning down monkeys in the streets in front of tourists.
So. Yeah, that doesn't look good at all. But hey, hit one with a
slingshot will drop it too.
Yeah, you hit them in the right place with the right projectile. They've cops there say they come under attack from aggressive monkeys in the town of Lopburi, and it is out of control. They're aware of potential danger from monkeys. They've started to pose a threat to tourists and locals. They're using slingshots for the officers to help threaten the monkeys when necessary. In most cases, you only need to use the slingshot as a deterrent. They don't have to use objects to strike the monkeys. They don't want that either. Out there, baseball bat and a monkey.
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well for the tourism board.
Welcome to Lopburi. Bad monkey. Some of them have tranquilizer guns for the ones that are a little
rowdier.
Yeah, a little more harder to get under control. They call them primate thugs.
Don't worry, little tourist. The monkey's just sleeping. Look at it. He's so.
Yeah, but now the monkeys are onto him. They recognize the people, the cops that are on this monkey squad, and they know what that tranquilizer gun is. So the minute they see them, they scramble, climb up the sides of the building to get on the roof so they can hide from them. So the guy says, yeah, we have to hide our faces and conceal our tranquilizer guns so the monkeys wouldn't see them.
Yeah, now you're going to have a poor Thai officer in a monkey suit wandering by like, hello, fellow monkeys, how are you today?
Shall we wreak some havoc together? Pew, 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 pew. And what do they do once they tranquilize them?
Collect them and just take them outside of town.
Yeah. They say, look. We want the locals are like, listen, you don't need to thin the monkey, you know, herd out that much. We, you know, we make a lot of money on these monkeys for the they bring a lot of tourists in. But they've commandeered empty buildings. Some people compare it to an apocalyptic hellscape. They were engaged in a massive monkey gang fight. During the pandemic, there was a lack of food. It was a whole disorder in the monkey gang. They started to attack homes and cars and markets. And tourism took a real hit.
New monkey leaders took over.
Yeah, that's it. And now they're talking. Talking monkeys. I get it. Weren't they brought into Florida somewhere? What's the name of that something island? For an attraction for some pirates. I don't know what the attraction was. I thought monkeys would be a nice touch.
I think they brought them in for Silver Springs, too.
Silver Springs. And they thought, well, we'll put them out on this island. Monkeys can't swim. Well, these monkeys can swim. Or they found out how to swim. And I don't know. Well, they all got herpes.
Yeah. That's kind of a big thing in Florida. That they had a lot of roadside attractions that back when Florida didn't have Disney World, but they wanted tourism things. Yeah. So you would go down there, be a roadside attraction. There'd be one guy with a monkey in a cage.
Right. You pay $11 to see it. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as we from Atlanta.
Hey, Shannon Burke. How you doing, sir?
XL 106.3. The Kimmer, Pete, and Flounder. What's happening, fellas?
Well, we're having a beautiful afternoon up here. I'll bet you're having a beautiful, sunny, hot day down there, I'm guessing.
It's really nice right now.
Great time of year in Florida. I lived in Palm Beach Gardens at the PGA National, man. And I'll tell you what, from right about now until, this kind of getting to the end, from now until about the 1st of May, it's still really beautiful. After that, it gets a little iffy until mid-September.
It's
but
hot.
Again, it's a great time of year right now for a few more days.
Right there, too. You've got, what is it there? Right? What do you got?
It's 65 or something, I think, today, something like that.
79 degrees right here.
Sunny.
Pete, what's happening? Are you? What's going on, guys?
Well, we got Donald Trump's lawyer was in court today trying to get the whole thing thrown out with a Georgia case with Fannie the Floozy on the free speech business, saying his comments that he made, he wasn't trying to overturn an election. He was making political speech, and political speech is covered by the First Amendment. So, you know, and the judge said, well, you can appeal anything we do, but we're going to continue the case with hearings, and there's no trial date even set yet.
Fannie stays on board for right now, you think?
Yeah, apparently she got rid of her lover, so they've been keeping her, which is to me is amazing. The woman should be losing her law license. There's no way she should be on this case. I still can't believe that. Okay. A couple of Congress people are trying to get her off the case totally, but there is a state bar, a association of lawyers, or some judicial counsel that oversees prosecutors and cases like this, and so far I don't think anybody's doing anything. How is it possible that just given her testimony they caught her being a tramp and a liar? Obstructing justice. She deliberately was trying to convince the court that what she was doing was fine and there was nothing to it. I mean, it was unbelievable. All that testimony, they got her like four different things. She should not only should she be taken off the case, she should lose her license.
We know the reason why, and we should stop expecting this.
I know.
We should stop expecting justice when it comes to a Democrat.
I know.
Is that not the truth?
Yeah.
I predicted, I said it was Fulton County. Nothing would happen to her.
That's right. Even a Democrat strategist was on CNN saying, Fannie, don't make yourself a character in this. Bring it down. Stay focused on the job. Shut up, for God's sakes. Keep your mouth But it's too late. I mean, she can't stop. This, you know, this is what she is and what she does, and she's going to get away with it, and the whole thing is appalling.
But that judge left the door open for Trump to appeal and his co-defendants to appeal it. My take was that he didn't want to be the guy that fired the black female.
Because he's a judge. He's up for re-election.
Yeah, and he wants
he's
to
up for re-election.
Just to kick the can down the street a little bit.
Yeah, Fulton County, a Democrat, mostly all black and all Democrat, and he's up for re-election. So, you know, he can't take a chance on offending the entire prosecutor's office.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, what do you make of the bridge disaster, the booty judge coming out and not saying anything.
Yeah. Well, thank God it was a racist bridge. We finally got rid of that racist bridge.
We have a bet going here, or a prediction. Eazy says that when they rebuild this bridge, it will no longer be the Francis Key bridge. It'll be renamed something else that's more politically correct because Francis. He is allegedly slave trade or whatever.
Yeah. Going to be the Beau Biden Memorial Bridge.
The Beau Biden Memorial Bridge is the bet here.
Well, he was when he was killed getting the Medal of Honor in Iraq, as you remember, saving the platoon of nurses and nuns and children.
No. It'll be that corrupt Maryland congressman who died a couple years ago. What was that guy's name from Baltimore? He lost billions of dollars in funds that they never saw in his district. Cummings, was that his name?
Elijah Cummings.
Elijah Cummings was
Yes. Yeah. Elijah Cummings. Yes.
What do you think? You know, that's a good I hadn't thought, that just goes to show the duplicity of these people. That's probably what's going to happen. I'll bet there's going to be a huge thing about the naming of the new bridge.
Yep. And, I don't know what this, I'm no engineer, but I don't think it's going to be a year. It's going to be a long time. But if, I don't think it's going to affect this election. Like, Biden's not going to build this bridge before November.
No. Well, two things. First of all, now the governor of Maryland saying we want $60 billion or something to build it from the federal government to take care of this. Frankly, the shipping companies responsible for the damage and the insurance or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, why are the taxpayers all of a sudden going to do this? And by the way, if the insurance company were to hire its own private contractors, that may be done a hell of a lot faster. And you know, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be the modern design bridge where they don't have those structures in the middle of the freaking channel.
Right. So, anyway. Army Corps of Engineers, maybe. But I heard Lloyd's of London's insured that bridge.
Yeah.
Well, they should be paying for it. I mean, it was a shipping company that caused it.
Right.
You know?
Well, I don't know. Anyway. I don't know.
Well, hell, you live in Florida. In Florida, by the way, a couple things. There were tugboats who helped guide the ship into the docking area before the accident happened, and then the tugboats left. And the reason the tugboats left is, well, I was just reading a thing from some top engineer guy in the shipping business saying the reason they left is because all the modern ships have modern technology to help them steer on their own through the channels, so the tugboats aren't really needed for that part of the thing, so they all tend to leave these days as a normal procedure. The problem is, if those tugboats had stayed there, they could have guided him and stopped him from plowing into the freaking pillar.
Right.
But they don't do it, and frankly, I don't understand. But hell, in Florida, but you know this too, Shannon, if there's a problem with the waterways in Florida, those bridges, bang, they are up and gone, and there are tugboats everywhere. I mean, they take care of those bridges and the ships going under those things every second of every day, 24 hours a day.
Right.
And I mean, it's not the same as what, you know, Florida learned a lesson the hard way quite a while ago. And they do it right, I think.
Yeah, we don't have bridges that expand too many. Well, there's a couple of big ones, but I thought the one that DeSantis rebuilt after the hurricane in a couple of weeks. It was a bridge to an island, but it wasn't nearly as expansive.
Yeah.
But we're yet to see the economic impact, the supply chain impact of this thing is going to be.
Oh, it's
going to
be awesome.
And it's going to be. I mean, that was a major thoroughfare for hazardous chemicals and fuel and diesel and that road itself was on the bridge, not to mention the huge importance of that port right there where everyone's stuck in right now. No one can get out. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, and not only that, what about your basic traffic pattern now? Those, I mean, deliveries and truck drivers and commuters, and I mean, this is going to be a freaking nightmare for them. And then there's the whole, let me ask you this. In fact, Flounder just brought this up a little while ago. We were talking about whether, I was coming to the conclusion, we've been talking about this with Pete. It certainly seems reasonable to me right now to throw the possibility that someone caused this. I think it's legitimate to ask at this stage what happened, why the steering, why the power outage, yep. Why did that boat seem to turn 90 degrees into the pier at the last moment? I mean, there are some questions about the video and the timing and the I mean, it seems reasonable to say it would be disrespectful to say, well, we're automatically going to say it was an accident. That's all there is to it, and we'll find out why the accident happened.
Right.
Obviously, you have to investigate everything or you're not an investigator. So it's not right to complain that because you're asking a question that you're some kind of freaking conspiracy theorist.
Right.
That's what's killing me.
I agree that it would be a brilliant way to affect our supply chain and our economy for a certain period of time, if it were to be a purposeful, deliberate attack, you know? It's a major...
I mean, I doubt it. I doubt that someone did that. I thought this was sabotage. But still, you can't say, well, we can't automatically rule it out. I mean, and just because we raise the question, given what's happened these days?
Yeah.
I mean, of course you have to, you know, investigate everything. I mean, these freaking liberals, Shan, honest to God, I'm so sick and tired of being labeled and blasted and accused of things which are just being a normal human being.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden I'm some kind of a scumbag... racist, you know, right-wing psychopath or something because I'm asking questions that any normal person used to ask 20 years ago.
Right, and here's a prime example. NBC hires Rhona McDaniel on a two-year deal, $300K a year, to be a contributor. She appears one time,
and
everyone over there loses their effing minds.
Shameful.
And they just won't work with her. They won't. And they forced executives who I think were on the path to, hey, let's open back up and try to be... at least appear a little bit more fair and put a conservative on our payroll as a contributor so we can get, you know, differing opinions. And Chuck Todd won't have it. What's his name? Matt Al won't have it. But they forced NBC executives.
What's his name? Rachel Maddow. Yeah.
they forced these executives to go to turn around.
Two things stand out. First of all, the executives, I think probably you're right. They were trying to do the right thing to say, well, we can't just be labeled as a, you know. And so they were probably trying to do the right thing. And plus, they did the right thing with her. It wasn't like she was some kind of right-wing rabble-rouser, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, from the far right, you know, the Proud Boys or something. She was pretty much, not terribly offensive to people except those who wanted her to be stronger. So that was not that big a deal. But it shows that these executives didn't have any balls. They didn't have the balls to pull it off. And what's even worse, NBC was the original red and blue radio network which started national broadcasting. NBC and CBS, Edward R. Murrow's got to be rolling over in his grave about things like this. And the NBC who started the old red and blue radio networks. I mean, this is not journalism. This is not broadcasting or communication. The First Amendment is dead. These people are not supporting the freedom of the press and to be able to express ideas and opinions. I can't believe it. How is it possible that those, you know, the inmates running the asylum, beautiful
right.
faces with
overpaid.
The puffy hairdos are determining what people get to see on the news?
Right.
I can't believe it.
When it finally has it, the last nail is in Legacy News' coffin, and it's rapidly headed that way, that these execs have no one to blame but themselves because they have allowed... Look, long gone are the times of Crossfire and Hannity and Colmes and Point Counterpoint. That's when we started to lose it. Now they won't even allow a single voice, one single conservative voice to join a left-leaning legacy media because they don't want to even hear. They don't want to be around that person. They can't even stand to have them within their sphere. It's ridiculous. Childish.
Jane, you ignorant slut.
I was just going to say that. Will we sure miss that with Saturday Night Live? And that's what brought it all to pink. And again, we have to remember, these are all Democrats. These are people, and they call Donald Trump and you and me Nazis. And these are the people who are nothing but censors trying to make sure you do not hear every opinion. And they're trying to keep the political opponent off the ballot as a one-party system. What else do you call these Democrats other than Marxists and Nazis?
And they've done, listen, you know, I hate to say this, but they've
Jew,
done it.
And by the way, they're Jew haters, too. When Putitat shows up, I mean, President Joe, a baby murderer, is going to show up tonight with the racist and the rapist, Bill Clinton and Putitat. Obama is going to show up, and there's going to be 50,000 Jew-hating pro-Palestinian protesters,
yep.
And they're all Democrats.
Yep.
They're all Democrats doing all this to America. Keep voting for them.
They have done a very good job of training liberal voters to automatically associate you, if you're a GOP or you're going to vote for Trump, which, you know, you have no choice now, as you're an election denier, a danger to democracy, racist homophobes, and it's no black and white about it, no gray area there at all.
I'm tired of being accused and labeled and boxed in. I mean, that's nonsense. I'm an American, damn it, and all those things are lies. It's not true, and somehow they keep getting away with it, and I'm not taking it anymore. I hope there's a revolution. I hope there's a freaking revolt. I'm not calling for violence. So you keep your freaking Secret Service, you scumbag FBI, the Federal Gestapo investigation. I'm probably marking this down right now. They have a whole contingent of FBI agents just listening to the camera, trying to plant something in my trunk to get me to federal charge or something. So they're probably writing this down right now. I bet you at 5:17 on March 28th. But you keep trying, buddy. But I'm going to keep opening my mouth because people are ruining this country, and we all know it, and we have to stop it.
We were just reminiscing about my visit from the boys in the black Suburbans that one morning there.
Oh, yeah.
Never clenched up more leather in my butt cheeks than I did on that day. There's still a butt print in that chair.
There you go. Just can do what they want.
What else do I got to talk to you about? Could there be a stronger visual than today? You've got, like you said, Clinton, Obama, and Biden for a $25 million gala at Radio
City.
With Lizzo performing there. And in Long Island, you've got the former President Donald Trump showing up the wake of a Jonathan Diller. You couldn't have a...
Shannon, I'm so glad you said that. In the last hour, Pete Davis and Flounder and I made the exact same thing. We said, if you had to take two pictures to show the difference in what's going on in America right now, you show President Joe Baby Killer with the racist and the rapist and 50,000 Jew-hating, Palestinian-loving, Hamas-loving protesters compared on the same day when Donald Trump bows his head in prayer over the casket of a dead police officer who was murdered because of liberal political policies by Democrats.
Yep.
What a comparison.
And if you've given enough money for this Radio City Music Hall event, you can have your picture taken with all three of those
$100,000. You get all three.
Taken by Annie Leibovitz.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
You're right. And then down on Long Island, former President Trump meeting with the family, arranging the, what does they say, they paid off their the family's mortgage, agreed to pay off having a solemn moment, meeting with the police officers who adore him there. You couldn't show a better dichotomy of these men right there.
It's so obvious. I mean, you couldn't be plainer. You hit yourself over the head with a hammer.
Right.
Take a look.
Now, the other three are about to watch Lizzo perform at Radio City Music Hall.
Were you there when she was there at our station, when we were at the radio station? Were you there time?
I don't know. I'm not sure I saw her in the hallway.
Pete, you were there, though, right? Flounder wasn't working with us then, but Pete and I
watched her.
Yeah, and Lizzo showed up at the radio station, and nobody had ever heard of her. This was, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and nobody had ever heard of her. And we thought, well, she's a big girl and she's singing, and I guess it's okay. And it was some music rep brought her around to the radio station to sing for the staff. I mean, just there in the sales area, so it's okay, fine. And she sang for a few minutes, and we walked away, and that was the ball. All of a sudden, Lizzo is enormous. I mean, in many ways.
good times, Kimmer. Thank you, guys. Pete,
hey, Flounder. Have a good one, my friend. Happy Easter and good Friday tomorrow, and happy Easter weekend, and hi to the missus, and I hope you're doing great down here.
Same to you guys. Thank you very much. Right, love it.
Be good. Talk to you. Thanks, man.
The Kimmer. Well, he's fired up.
Just a touch.
Just a touch. When we return, we'll get to remarks. We have quite a few of those. And sadly, deputies in Fresno had to arrest a man who was a proud graduate of the Urban Peace Academy. Urban Peace Academy. He graduated. Now they busted him with 25 guns.
Aww.
Urban Peace. Maybe that is Urban Peace. Maybe you need 25 guns in order to maintain urban peace.
25 guns, peace achieved.
Hang on, it's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. We got a lot of remarks to get to. Urban Peace Academy graduate Thomas Rowland Jr., a senior, is back in jail. That diploma is not getting him anywhere. Just last week, Mr. Rowland completed the Urban Peace Academy with a certificate signed by the program's executive director and the mayor of Fresno, Jerry Dyer.
Oh, he's got certificates.
Yeah, he got certificates. It's the Community Violence Intervention Certificate Training. 9 days before, Fresno County Sheriff's official said Rowland, 49, was arrested for 6 felonies. Burglary, possession of a gun by a felon, possession of an ammunition by a felon, concealing stolen property, grand theft of a firearm, evading police. Man, he didn't learn anything in that course.
He didn't even learn how to not get caught. Usually if you take one of those courses, you at least learn not to get caught.
Yeah. Urban Peace Academy. Maybe they're going the wrong way in this. That's got to be a course that a judge said, look, you're going to go to the Urban Peace Academy. And what could you possibly learn?
It's like a community outreach. So maybe you teach younger kids. I know you've been in jail multiple times. You're going to teach these young kids not to get to jail.
Okay, maybe he's doing a great job. And now, look, even more.
Yeah, here's what you don't do.
He could be the chancellor of Urban Peace Academy now. The Urban Peace Institute has a $300,000 contract for outreach through the Board of State Community Corrections and the California Violence Intervention Program. They did say, though, I do understand that once in a while, there are bad apples. Bad apples in the Urban Peace Institute. We probably need to update our background process. Or maybe it's a school that, convicted guys, you get out and go and you just go to Urban Peace Academy. It doesn't sound like it's a whole semester. You go and learn whatever they learn. You get a certificate. So you're like, dog,
it was like 60 hours.
I'm graduate, bro. Yeah, I got a diploma in urban. I have a degree in urban peace. Kind of. Let's get to remarks. From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats. It's a great place bathe naked in archives of podcasts that are commercial free. Take the station with you wherever you go, and you can call the show, text the show from there, and hit the little microphone button. You have 30 seconds to deliver your remarks. Relative, okay.
What's up, guys? Ray here. I listened to your show the other day, or Bubba's show with you on there. Pretty good show. I'm just not really into the penis talk too much, man. I think it's against guy code to discuss it. But it's just un-American. Love your show. Beedo beedo.
Wait a second. Penis talk is un-American. It's exceedingly American.
It's the most American thing possible.
Absolutely. And the right is exceedingly American. Ray's shying off about the penis talk, huh? But I almost regret mentioning it because once I set Bubba on the penis pump path, it was tough to give him off.
Oh, yeah. He locked in.
He starts to talk about my wife's boobs and. And then, like, my wife's on her way to work. I'm at the home studio. She knows she left right before I went on the air. She's texting me, like, my boobs, WTF.
Funny and ironic, you guys were talking about manure today. I had to pressure wash the inside of a horse stall, and it was not clean. loads of fun. Be do be do.
Yeah. Cow manure. Terrible.
Hey, you're talking about Biden's books not selling? It doesn't surprise me. All the Democrats I know, they don't even watch him on TV. They don't watch him on anything else. They'd rather be ignorant than know the truth. So they're not going to read his book.
That's funny.
Shannon, let's go in halves on the Donald Trump rabbit's foot. Think we can make a million quickly.
Quickly. Bitter. Quickly.
Jim again. Turkeys fly to roost every day. They can't fly. I've seen them fly a long ways.
High in the sky flying?
Again, nothing dropped from a plane attached with them is going to fly very well.
Right.
What's up, boys? Cole in Atlanta again. So there's actually four different types of turkeys in the U.S. There's Merriam's and Rio Grande's. They mostly are west of, you know, like the Midwest area. And then you have Osceola turkeys. They're in Florida. And maybe South Georgia a little bit, but the most prevalent are the eastern turkeys. They're the biggest and hardest to hunt. They are in my area, North Georgia here. Next weekend is opening day for public land. Wish me luck, boys.
All right.
Get you some.
Get you some turkeys.
Easy, I got to say, I have been to Canada, and I have ridden a moose. She wasn't very hairy. She was quite horny.
Moose Rider.
BZ. Love you, man, but you're killing me today. Calvary is the place where supposedly Jesus was crucified. A cavalry is a military unit.
When did you say cavalry?
I did say Calvary.
Or cavalry.
Well, either way.
Congratulations on the traffic guy. At least now we know it's a guy and could be either or on that other one. Much more better, I would say. As far as the book, the best-selling book about Biden ever going to be written in life is going to tell the whole story of his criminal life and exactly how he changed into a person of presidency that rode a train across a bridge that never had a train on it, calling people that are dead to the stand while he's giving speeches.
All right.
You a cheetah, not like animal from Africa.
Ah, chanson of the guy. It's the one hung low. I got a new job. Concert scalper. I got the good tickets for you guys. Buy. I got the great white, some rat, maybe some AC/DC. You let me know. I hook you up. Then at the concert, we go hot tub with me guy Jonathan. Cook some meals. Okay, got to go. Beedoo beedoo.
It could be a Cadbury Ain't Your Mama White Easter egg.
What?
Ton Daytona. Hey, Cadbury, I got your Jester egg right here. Right here. We need to get Henderson on this crap, man. Beat it, beat it.
Wait until you start to see Target selling Jester baskets.
Yes. Sweet Jester baskets.
Don't you kids want some Jester baskets? To go on your Jester egg hunt?
Well, I was trying to just go home, but now I got to stop at the gas station and get a bunch of Cadbury eggs and Reese's eggs. There goes my diet. I'm just stuffing my face. Be-doo-be-doo.
I've never made it home with a Cadbury egg. Ever.
Who would?
Never.
Ton Daytona. Wiener connoisseur, huh? Hey, I think we got a new cabinet position for Pete Buttigieg. One he's actually qualified for. Beto.
Can you imagine? We need to give that to Lindsey Graham. I have been to 14 ballparks so far. I find the girth is the best in Boston. It's a nice, fine, fat wiener. Right, Mother? Where were we? Come on.
Oh, my God. This is a perfect job for me. Flying around, eating hot dogs, being disabled, walking on my cane, getting preferred seating because I'm handicapped. And I got a lot of time on my hands, and I can still listen to you guys. Damn.
What? It was his birthday. How old did he turn?
I don't know.
I think I saw 54, 55.
But you know he'd have himself like a laminated card. Matt Laguna, official hot dog tester. Come on.
And he's going to have someone to carry his hot dog because you can't really, you know, carry a hot dog and a drink while you're walking on a cane, you know?
Bet you that old Shohei Ohtani would win for the smallest wiener contest.
I hereby nominate honorary wiener connoisseur Lindsey Graham. I think it's a perfect role for him, plus he's never really done anything in the Senate. I think it's a win-win.
It is a win-win.
My God, Kate is a shoo-in for the wiener connoisseur job, except all her reviews have to be audio.
Oh, my God. Could you? Oh, my God.
Are you writing down Kate reviews hot dogs?
Kind of. I'm wording it different, but yeah.
I see this coming a mile away, man. Kate's a connoisseur, and he's been baiting ever since.
Hey, boys. So Cadbury eggs, a little guilty pleasure of mine. Every year, my mother-in-law buys me a box for Easter. This year, she ordered me some straight from the UK from Cadbury Direct. They don't use any preservatives or chemicals in the chocolate. It is 100 times better than any Cadbury egg I've ever had over here. Do yourself a favor, order some. You'll thank me later.
Beater, beater. Get them online?
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say from the UK say that Hershey's chocolate is like tastes like vomit to them. There's people from the
it's
UK.
It's so dramatic over there.
Yeah, but it's something about it. Just they say there is an off taste
I
to it.
I will agree that, well, I don't know if there's an off taste, but Kim buys bargain stuff at the fancy place, and sometimes it's really good chocolate to put in my little box. And if it's Canadian or British or some of it's Irish, it's fantastic and way different. Did we just play that one?
Yeah, there's no sugar in a lot of those carbonated waters, seltzer waters, the flavored ones, but
there's hot dog
there
juice.
Is a ton of beaver anus. Look it up. Be-do, be-do.
What does that mean?
It's been used for, I don't know if it's still used. It's a, you got to look it up.
For a flavor thing?
Yeah, it's like raspberry flavor. I think is what it comes from.
Beaver anus?
Yeah, I don't think they use it as much as they used to anymore.
Let me write something down here.
Kate reviews beaver anus.
Beaver anus beverages.
Hey, guys, and Heather, Kevin and Navarre, did I miss something here? This guy gets paid, or person gets paid $2,500 to do 30 stadiums. And y'all mentioned that that wouldn't be nearly enough to buy a hat. That's over $80 a hat. So did I miss something here?
You sure did, Kevin.
Please enlighten me.
$2,500 to get in cash.
Be-do, be-do.
And then $500 at the MLB shop to buy a hat. And then airfare and complimentary tickets to every game.
Yeah, the part we were talking about, he gets a $500 gift card for the shop.
Right. Come on, play, bitch.
It puts the lotion on the book cover or it gets the hose again.
You guys missed the most important part of that story with that Yang dude and the Taylor Swift tickets. Hung Lo actually put him up to all that. Beedoo beedoo.
Speaking of.
Ah, so what, Hung Lo? I hear you talk about salsas. I think we all go in business, make our own salsa. We can make a sour yellow Kit Kat salsa. We can make a brown sugar doggy poo salsa. We can make a fire engine red salsa and my all-time favorite, used girl panty thong salsa. Oh, that sounded good of business to me. No. Let's do it.
No.
Lego.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's 5 o'clock. I definitely missed the show today, but I wanted to do my part and leave an open mic. I'm sure Star Trek guy, Sparky, the girl that sings, and Clovis Bass and his Dusty Ceiling fan left plenty of messages for you guys today. Y'all take it easy on this Thursday.
Maybe since Joe's up against the NCAA tournament at his fundraiser, he could regale us with some stories of how he led Delaware to four straight national championships with his triple-double in every game in the 60s. Beedoo-beedoo.
That's why it's not on television. Because there's no way it would get any ratings right now, right? You're up against the tournament.
Yeah, but people would tune in to see Obama and Clinton there. So.
Yeah.
You know, just bow down to your liberal overlords. Any critical thinking are questions that pose others to think outside the narrative, the divine narrative, is heretical. And all heretics will be dealt with accordingly. Beedoo beedoo.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Easy, Heather, Spark352. I absolutely love the Kimmer. He's spot on, bro. Light a match to this bitch today. Light a match to it. Let's do it. Beedoo, beedoo.
In no way is the Shannon Burke Show sharing the opinion to light a match to anything today.
Kimmer is the best. You need to have him every day on y'all show. Beedoo, beedoo. Out.
He has the best lead-in in the business, I'll tell you that.
Hey, Kimmer. It's Chris here from Milton, Georgia. It's great to hear the Kimmer on your show earlier. I'm 100% convinced that the purchase of your all's radio show station up here in Atlanta was a liberal operation. Just my thoughts, though.
Yeah, because it wiped out that only real conservative station with a monster signal there. That other big number one station is hardly liberal, hardly conservative.
Every Shannon, every Uncle Ted here, your undercover brother, every here in New York at the big fundraiser. Every, it's kind of quiet before the storm. Every, although some steel workers every, have shown up, every, I think they're here to every, reinforce the stage. Every, maybe because of Lizzo or all of the Chinese money they're going to stack up on that thing. Every, well, anyway, I've had some burritos. I'm going to sneak into the bathroom and try to leave some upper deckers. God bless.
Damn it, Shannon. I was in the grocery store when y'all was talking about the Cadbury eggs. The more y'all talked about it, the closer I got to the chocolate aisle. Damn if I ain't get some.
How would you ever even begin to ride a moose? I'm surprised that they cooperate at all. But the other thing, sorry, I'm eating chocolate. The other thing is, are two mooses? They're not meese, because those are mouse. My thoughts on a Thursday afternoon.
You got to get Bubba to do the open mics. It would be hilarious.
He's got a lot going on, Bubba.
I'm in Ray Ray's camp. Can't have no guy telling me to pump up. I don't know about y'all.
Pump on up, buddy.
Hey, man, I just turned 57, so I'm right behind you, Shannon. We're in the same age bracket.
You're way behind me because you couldn't walk nearly as fast as I walk. We're in the same age bracket, and I still got all my original joints.
Matt and Laguna, Squirrel checking in. Hey, Matt, come on, cuz, call me. I could be your little,
Get it out, dude.
A wiener connoisseur, I guess.
Okay, you gotta be faster.
Shannon Maverick here. Penis talk and hot dog talk. That's all American. America.
Did something bad happen to Matt in Laguna? I haven't been keeping up, but it sounds like he's injured.
I don't know that there's been a span of time in which, and Matt's been listening to this program and contributing to it for a long time, that I've ever known him to not be ailing of from something.
Yeah, I think he falls down a lot.
Either that or he's recovering from a joint replacement or, you know, it's always...
Easy, what do you mean they don't use that as much? I just had a raspberry tea and I just, oh my God, I just kind of threw up on my mouth a little bit.
The real question is, who is the guy that discovered that beaver anus's juice tasted like raspberry?
Castoreum. It's a fluid that ranges in yellow color, milky gray, and sticky, depending on the type of beaver. It's not quite from their anus, but it comes from like a gland nearby, but apparently has a very fruity smell to it. So there was some French fur trapper up there. He was like, what's that? Oh, yeah.
Oh, give me some of that.
It was used flavoring for ice cream, but it has been used for a while now.
You won't hear me say anything today. My doctor told me I need to cut back.
Wait a minute. I'm not doing anything with... beaver butt.
Shannon, if you have any kind of job that starts with beaver, please call me.
Easy, what do you mean they don't use that as much?
It's still labeled as a natural flavor, so there's a chance if it's raspberry flavored or vanilla flavored and it says natural flavor, it's possible they're using it. Very rare nowadays still, but it's possible.
They wouldn't have to say natural flavor.
FDA.
By that, we mean beaver anus?
Yeah, FDA lets it put as a natural flavor.
Whatever happened to that Florida man wiener meetup? I was thinking we could combine it with the Bubba penis pump and make the hot dogs bigger. Brought to you by Morris Family Meats.
Kate said she rode a moose. What are doctors for anyway? Been masturbating ever since.
You guys are right about that bridge thing and the supply chain, but you got to think the long run. Like, what kind of... these people are going to stop getting a lot of things, and temper's going to flare. It's going to be a lot of chaos, and who knows what more. There's already an asshole over there.
Oh, hey, Shannon. How are you today? I'm
trying to blow through these.
I just hear Bubba in the background when you're doing your penis pump. You're not doing it right. Give me that thing.
Rampaging monkey hit squad sucks. Kimmer rules.
Easy. What about the dogs in World War I and World War II?
Yeah,
easy. Your Dobermans, your German Shepherds, and your pit bulls.
What about the terriers?
General Patton.
Yeah.
And dachshunds were bred to go into beaver dens or badger dens.
General Patton had an English bull terrier.
They also used to use beaver anus for imitation vanilla.
Which is it? So some beavers are vanilla. What flavor?
Vanilla and raspberry. Used for vanilla, raspberry, and not strawberry. There's another one that they used it for.
My mind has been blown. I thought that was just a rumor in the food service industry.
Yeah, fruity strawberry or raspberry. No, so it was vanilla, strawberry, and raspberry flavoring. Could possibly be.
That's a great name. Could you name like a milkshake place, beaver anus milkshakes?
Probably not selling very well.
Wink, wink. Those are the remarks for today. Thank you. You made me proud today. You remarkers. Let's take our last break. We'll come back to wrap it up for you. Italy is battling to protect one of its icons from becoming debased. That's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network. Michelangelo's David, long a very important figure to Italian culture, and has importance both religiously and politically, and that significance, they believe, Italians now believe that it's being diminished by the thousands of refrigerator magnets and other tchotchkes, like coffee mugs, that are sold all over Florence that focus on David's twig and berries, his genitalia. It's at the Galleria di Accademia. The new director there, Cecile Holberg, she now believes she has positioned herself as David's defender. She believes that people are profiteering from his image and often in ways that is debasing to the importance and significance of the work. She, at the Holbrooke's behest, the state attorney in Florence has launched a series of court cases trying to invoke Italy's landmark cultural heritage code, which protects artistic treasures from being disparaged in unauthorized commercial use. You know, hawking aprons and T-shirts, often doing obscene gestures, and it's got to stop. We must protect David's penis.
Yeah, that's how many of the people make that money on that street off of that.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yeah.
His penis is worth a giant portion of Florence's economy.
It is the reason why people know that statue.
Really?
The fact that he's naked.
Well,
if it was just a dude statue, nobody would know that statue.
Without his penis being shown.
Yeah, so.
We're such weird animals.
We are.
Thank you, Easy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
She's gone.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. We're back tomorrow, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. Bubba the Love Spudge fires this network up in the morning with the help of a couple of bottles of pills. Then it's Don Miller time, the funniest guy on your radio. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a good night.